welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah. Get it on. Got to get it on. Doggy, 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. How say you, America? What's happening, Teresa Strasser?
Nothing much. What's happening, Adam Carolla?
Just running around, doing Kimmel tonight. Gonna go get fitted for my suit, which they're gonna make for me, which I'm uncomfortable with. I'm uncomfortable with everything, I've realized. I don't know if you've listened to the show, but I like to blame my family for stuff.
Yeah.
Have
Why
I
not?
Wrote that up? My family, I think it was the 70s that may have done it, along with them just being sort of lazy, and my family has very low self-esteem. It was pounded into me early and often, just pounded into me. Why you? I mean, what's so, you know, if I said, geez, don't you hate it when these people drive so slow in front of you? They'd say, well, I'm sure that person had a reason. And where were you going? Maybe if you'd left earlier, you wouldn't have to. It was never like you're stupid or you're dumb. It's always just like, why? Why you? Why
would
they?
You're not the red pebble on the beach. You're just a pebble.
Yes, you're just a grain of sand in a huge beach, and you should get in line with everybody else.
And also, your feelings are not validated.
Yeah.
It's annoying that someone's driving in front of you, but what about their feelings?
Yeah, a lot of my family would say, a lot of if you couldn't make any declarations in front of them, you couldn't go, Simpsons, funniest sitcom, best written sitcom on TV. They'd say, well, that's your opinion. That's your opinion. And that's fine, but that's your opinion.
Right.
There's other people that might like Murphy Brown, and that's their opinion, and thus,
you're not special, and
that's that. Yeah,
your opinions are discounted.
I'm telling you, if you ever really want to know, said it many times, you really want just a little peek behind the curtain of the Carollas. Many years ago, when I was doing Loveline with the venerable Ricky Rackman. By the way, when Ricky Rackman and I were on at the same time, and I was... by the way, when I came on to Loveline with Ricky Rackman, nobody involved with the show except for Dr. Drew was a fan of the plan, including the best program director in the world over at K-Rock, who explained to me that Ricky had star quality and essentially it. And if you'd like to see some of it, you just head out to McKenna VW out in Torrance, and you will see your ass some star quality.
Is that where it works?
Ricky was on this station doing a little triple R radio, Ricky Rackman Radio, because you know the alliteration.
That's good.
Somehow that didn't work out. I don't know why a guy with star quality isn't just hosting his On Top of the Late Night World at this point, but must have slipped through the cracks somehow.
It's hard to imagine.
Either way, when I was explaining to yet another radio genius that this guy didn't exactly have the goods, although radio folks... you've seen from this station and other stations have a rich tradition of underestimating certain people's abilities and way overestimating other people's abilities.
I've noticed.
Yeah, have you noticed that?
I have.
Not great star makers.
Speaking of which, good morning, Brian.
Oh, yes.
Oh, come on.
Yes. Jimmy Kimmel and I were not allowed to be on the air together in our last radio station.
Because you two together. No chemistry.
Who's going to buy that?
It's going nowhere.
Nowhere fast. And that's radio.
Well, let's briefly discuss your week. You have Kimmel?
Hold on a second. So famously, though, when, and I've said it many times, but again, just a peek behind the curtain for the new listeners, when I told my grandmother how Loveline was going with Ricky Rackman because Ricky felt very threatened that I was there. And rightfully so, historically, I think.
Yeah, he knew
he was
bore out
that I replaced him. He used to do a lot of filibustering. Not great with the give and take, as a matter of fact. And there's a shocker. Radio guys doesn't know the tenets of improv.
His radio name was Philly Buster.
Philly Buster from Pennsylvania. So I said to my grandmother, not good. You know, Ricky talks a lot, doesn't let me get a word in edgewise, and not very good at the give and take. And she took a pause, and she looked at me, and she said, I bet he'd say the same about you.
kind of a decent point, but not what you want your grandmother to say. She should be on your side.
No, she shouldn't. And as we've learned from doing this show, there is a right and a wrong.
There is.
I don't oftentimes complain about folks who are good and have a good back and forth and a good rapport. No, I wouldn't have said that about somebody who didn't cut me off and didn't deny me and didn't go back and forth with me. He, in fact, did that, which was the truth, but even if it wasn't, could have sided with the grandson.
No, that would be very nice. That's what grandmothers are supposed to do, unconditional love.
One would think. Or even just weighing the evidence between Adam Carolla and Ricky Rackman and being impartial about it.
Is your grandma going to Dancing with the Stars?
Either way, I guess. I'm not sure. I was ruined. They created a monster many years ago. I do not care if anyone in my family watches a show, goes to the show, is there in the audience, is not in the audience, or is aware of it.
I care.
I appreciate that. I would prefer it, if you really want to know what goes on inside of my head, I would prefer if nobody I've ever met was in that audience.
I totally get it.
And if no one I've ever met ever watched the show as well. That's exactly how I was created.
I completely understand.
Yeah, I have bad news. We just got the word yesterday that we are invited to one of the weeks.
By the way, this is the best news, because over the weekend I was shopping and I saw a dress. It was kind of expensive and I thought, I'm going to buy this just in case. I'm putting it out to the universe just in case I get invited to Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, Assistant Jay told me that Brian and producer Andrea and I would be going.
The devastating part was explaining to my girlfriend, who is a huge Dancing with the Stars fan, that she will not be invited, and I, who had never seen the show, being one of the
first. Why don't you send
heroes
her in your place?
I might. Well, shave her head and send her in my place.
She can she can sniff you when you get back.
Yeah. It was a comfortable conversation.
But I know what you mean, that it would be nice if none of your friends or family were in the audience and no one watched.
Yes.
Make it less stressful.
Good. You have that as well.
I have that in spades.
It's it transcends stress. It is so beaten into me that it's not even I don't even break it down anymore. Like, I don't think I'm going to be nervous if I know. All I know is if I do something, I would like to do it alone, unless it's eat or go to a movie, in which case I want everyone I know to come with me. When it has to do with work, I never want anyone I know to attend anything I do, ever. And something is broken in me that way, and I don't know if it can ever be fixed, but that's the way I feel. Now, later on today, I have to go get a suit made for me, which feels uncomfortable because I feel like somebody's going to be spending a lot of time and energy making a suit that they could have just bought for me, but I'm told it's important that they make you a suit.
Because you're going to be dancing in it.
That already feels uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable anytime somebody does something that I don't directly pay them for. If I pay them, then I have no problem telling them what to do. If I don't pay them, it feels very strange.
How does this relate then to the Hammer? You're going to be doing the red carpet thing. I'm sure you're going to tell lots of people. I'm sure you're proud of it. How does that relate? That seems different to me.
Hammer, and a very good point, Bald Brian, my movie coming out the 21st. The Hammer is different, and I'll try to figure it out, because I have been trying to figure out what's different about that, because normally I tell people, don't listen to the radio show. The reason I tell people don't listen to radio shows is I don't want to tell, you know, my partner, Julianne, said to me yesterday, I heard some of the show, you're talking about those dwarf hookers, or as she called them, dwarf hookers. Told him that was a popular. I said, hey, you know, Tim Conway, the guy does Mr. Tudball from the old Carol Burnett, then, huh? Okay. So the point is
I'm sure he's up on it.
Tour Fun Golf. Yes. I usually tell people, don't listen, don't watch, because not only do I not want the pressure of it, but there's a good chance I may bring you up in some way,
yes,
shape, or form.
Exactly.
And I want to do it with impunity. The reason I've gotten where I've gotten thus far in radio has been I do a show where I assume nobody's listening, and thus I can go ahead and say that Dr. Drew's pee-whipped by a shrew wife, because I know I'm going to talk to Dr. Drew later on, and I will go out to dinner with his wife, and if I think they're listening, I will not be freed up to say that.
Right, and in fact, it may impede your ability to be totally honest.
Right. Right. Okay. So how does this pertain to my movie? This is an interesting point. I've been trying to wrap my brain around it. The movie I wanted to do just because I'd been in show business for 15 years almost, and I'd never had a chance to do a feature. And I also realized I would never have a chance to do a feature. The movie is sort of like an invention that's been rolling around in your head where you went, man, somebody ought to build something, and you thought it was a really good idea, and it didn't exist. And then one day you went out and you built a prototype, and you went, wow, it works. Sort of eureka. And you kind of want other people to see how well it works. But a lot of the movie is a FU to all the people who wanted to know if I could act or said I couldn't act or said they wouldn't make the movie or read the script and wouldn't make the movie or read the script and said great script. But unless Rob Schneider signed off to play your part, then we're not going to do it because you have no track record. It is an angry FU to all those a-holes who said I couldn't do something that in fact is the easiest thing to do in show business.
Very satisfying. Also, I might argue that it's somewhat of an ensemble effort. It's your story, it's your script, but there's a team of people, so it's not just everybody come see me.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely, took 100 people to make the movie. And I don't know what feels different about it, but I'm proud of it, which is something that I'm not normally... I normally don't have that feeling or admit that feeling. I'm very proud of it, and I would very much like people to see it. And John?
Yeah, hey, Adam. My complaint is, I listen to your show all the time.
Thank you.
And I think that you give out extremely good information, man. As far as, the college thing, junior college, and kind of picking on people, exhorting them to go to school and try to make something of their life, and you use your own life as a prime example of somebody that can, pretty much can come up if they want to. Not everybody's going to make it.
Thank you, John.
But there are a few that are going to make it. My complaint, mm-hmm. You're constantly railing on this thing about white people. They are people that get picked on in this society, and they always kind of come up a little bit less. You talk about the Generation X's, they have nothing. Why are they being punished about slavery? They have nothing to do with slavery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying you and all these and all the other white people are direct beneficiaries of what happened out of that Jim Crow thing.
Huh? Well, hold on, but now wait, hold on a second. Okay. Let me address that for a second.
Okay.
Slavery went on in this country. Slavery went on in almost every country at some period of time. My wife's family is from Italy. They were born in Italy. Her parents were both born in Italy. My dad's dad was born in Italy in the, 20s or something like that. There were no slave owners in our background and in our history. And
can I say something?
Yes.
Please? The point that you keep missing whenever you bring this up, and this is what it's like. Fingernails ripping through on a blackboard, man.
Right.
Yeah, your family didn't own slaves, and a lot of white people didn't own slaves, but you are the direct, but you still were free, and your family was still free, and the thing that even goes on today.
Right, well, listen, look, all right, well, then, by your definition, we should all be punished for everyone in the world who's not free today, because we're free, even though we don't do anything to enslave them. So whatever's going on...
Adam, but again, you're missing the point, man. It's not about anybody being punished. It's like somebody like you, who claims this kind of freedom, you should be able to look at it and say, some of the things that goes on with black people, it's unfair. The fact that you can ride in Beverly Hills today, you and your boy, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Ride in your car. You can
We're
ride
going to Beverly
car.
Hills later.
Oh, nice. That's fine, but I'm
going to turn a lap.
But if I go there with three friends, we're going to be stopped.
Now, hold on. All right, John. Okay, yeah. Let me try to make you understand this in the clearest way I possibly can. I used to get pulled over all the time. I used to get the crap kicked out of me by society, be it neighbors, be it cops, be it angry bosses. I would have thought, let me just put it to you this way, John. Every house I've lived in, I've had an a-hole neighbor who's called the cops on me, who's called building and safety on me, who's done many things who I would have... Just hear me out for one second. I currently have a neighbor who constantly calls building and safety department on me because the hedge between our two homes are too high. I have said to him... nicely, I will gladly cut the hedge. Simply remind me or my gardener to do it. No reason to call building and safety. I get notices from building and safety. I've got a cease and desist. I've gotten court orders from building and safety. He even checked a box that said unsanitary living conditions on my house next to his ramshackled shotgun shack. If I were a black family, I would assume this old white coot that has been doing this to me was racist. Turns out he's an a-hole, and I would assume that when the cops pulled me over and threw attitude at me and gave me yet again another chicken-ass ticket for having no front license plate, I would assume they were racist, but it turns out they're just a-holes. And when I had every construction boss I've ever had threaten me, call me an idiot and call me lazy and call me stupid, I would assume that they were racist as well if I were black. Point is I've been white, and I've still got the crap kicked out of me that way. So my point is that there is not that racism does not exist, but a lot of the stuff you think is racism turns out are just a-hole neighbors.
Okay, Adam, how many felonies have you got?
Zero, though I've been arrested on warrants before.
That's fine. I have, too. But here's the deal.
You don't think I've been pulled over? I've been pulled over 30 times. I've been pulled over. Hey, I've had three motorcycles impounded. I got pulled over on a motorcycle, and the guy told me to get off the motorcycle and walk home, and he impounded it.
I listen to your show. I know that you've done all of that. The point I'm trying to make to you is, and you don't seem to get it, and I know that you're not going to give me a chance. We're not going to get it today. But the only point I'm making is the same things that you've done and had fun going into up on the hill, swimming in that pool, doing all that stuff, you and your boys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I did those things, but I got a felony.
Well, if we'd got arrested, we probably would have got a felony, too. We never got caught.
Right, because the police weren't there. But in where I live, the police are always there.
Well, look, you...
Always, and not only that one felony, but for the other things that you're talking about, being pulled over by the cops and being pulled out, well, those things end up where the cops make it a personal thing, so now... You got another felony.
Yeah, but listen, hold on, John, and let me point this out. Hold on, quiet down. Let me point this out to you too. I have three nephews whose father was born in Germany, who should not be held in any way, shape, or form accountable for the Holocaust, even though they're only 50, 60 years away from the Holocaust. It wouldn't be fair to hold my three half-German nephews in any way, shape, or form accountable for that atrocity just because they're German. And as a matter of fact, they have a much closer biological, physical connection to the Holocaust, if you want to work it that way, than I do to slavery. So that's number one. Number two, John, please understand this, too, and this is the one thing I want my brothers to understand. For every racist out there, there are 100 super guilty white people who bend over backwards attempting to make up for the ills of the past and the present and possibly the future. I want you guys to know something called reverse racism. I want you guys to be aware of something of white people being super aware when they're dealing with black people and trying to overcompensate, which in may be its own form of racism, but at least it's the kind of racism that gets you a break. I want you to know the kind of racism that is reverse racism, that if there's three people who are applying for a job and I'm not hiring any of them, I'll spend an extra 20 minutes talking to the black guy about how qualified he is and how sorry I am versus the two white guys who I say, yeah, don't let the door hit you on the way out. There is a kind of reverse racism that I don't know what it's worth, and I'm not sure how you quantify it, but it definitely exists.
Absolutely. My mom and my stepdad, who was black, now deceased, when I grew up in San Francisco, when we would go to a nice restaurant, the host or hostess went out of their way to give us the best table in there as if to say, we accept you. Now, when my parents would go to the South, they would get nothing but the stink eye.
Right. So here's all I'm saying, John. A valid point. Sorry, we need to take a break. But do understand, my brothers, I do believe for every one legitimate racist out there, there are 25 guilty white people that are trying hard to make up for that one guy. And there's 24 guilty maitre d's that don't want to seem like you're racist and taking the mixed couple and putting them by the kitchen. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. More of your calls and questions next.
I'm not feeling that great. I'm not catching on fire today.
Adam's on the phone.
You're listening to Free 2 HD.
That's right, y'all already locked on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Face it, you love crank yankers. Well, here's another one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Hello?
Yeah, Mike, please.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Fine.
Good. Yeah, I'm calling about a little accident happened near the Pyramid Mall last week. Got a 1989 Toyota Camry.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, you know, you backed into me and then you took off.
Pyramid Mall, what day?
Tuesday, yeah.
What time?
7 p.m.
Hold on a second. Tuesday, 7 p.m., you claim a Toyota Camry hit you in the Pyramid Mall?
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, how do you know?
How do I know? Because I got friends in a DMV who called me up. They traced this car. My car's all smashed in. I can't even drive it now.
Too bad.
And if you had... Too bad. And
our
even...
car wasn't there.
Even if you said...
I can verify where our car was, and it was not there at 7 p.m.
Oh, don't tell me where the car was, because I'll show you the marks, and I'll show you the maroon paint on the car.
Hello?
Hey, Mike, it's Dom again. Very sorry.
I just want to tell you something. I have absolute... certainty, my son was in downtown all of Tuesday evening.
Well, I apologize for upsetting you. There's no need for that. I don't want to get you upset. How about $2,500 we settle?
F*** you!
Does that mean I'm not getting the money?
Yes.
$2,000.
I want every piece of information that you're talking about. I want to find out who this witness is. I want information.
2,000. All right.
We're talking about
2,200.
We're talking about a reverse suit.
$1,500.
I am calling the witness and I am threatening them with a lawsuit.
$500.
I want to know who this goddamn witness is.
$500.
Because my son was downtown with the car and I have a room full
$80
of certified
a
listing campaign employee.
50 cents.
So I want to know who this witness is.
$1. How about food stamps?
What the heck is this? What kind of scam is this?
Your car backed into me.
My car did not back into me, into you.
How about
my car was downtown.
Right.
My son was at Barbara Lifton's campaign headquarters. He was certified in a room full of 50 people. A lot of people know him.
Okay, I bet a back rub.
I want names right now.
Your son is a teenage maniac bumping into the car like...
You know, he wasn't anywhere near there. I want to find out...
Now, when you say... You, what do you mean by that?
Would you f***ing shut up? My son was in a campaign headquarters, you moron. Who is making this
statement? Moron. I'm
What's
a moron.
Name?
Your son's
your
hepped
name?
Up on drugs.
What's your name?
My name is Don Judd. I told you my name.
Tell me it again. Dom, what's the last
Dom,
name? How do you spell it?
Dom, D-O, I forget the rest. John.
Say
now listen
away.
To me, Mike.
What's your address?
My address is not your business. And let me tell you another
f***. You.
I'm David Allen Greer, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD, the FM talk station where FM stands for Funny Mama Jamma.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, and here's what's coming up this morning with program director Jack Silver.
I just earned my fourth diamond, Beeps. Today, HGTV's Eric Stromer checks in and answers your home improvement questions. A recap of last night's American Idol. A new round of Evil Adam. Bald Brian and the Ace Man do a reenactment. And your chance to win $500 in Rich Man, Poor Man. $500. Imagine what I could do with all that dough. Checkman doesn't want to implicate himself on tape. So let's just say it rhymes with hiring a prostitute. You do the math.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let's see. A couple more phone calls. Let's just start at the top, Steve.
Yeah.
What's on your mind, my brother?
Hey, man, I'm just wondering, when Andy Rooney kicks the bucket, I think you might be a good candidate. You ever consider getting on there and carrying the tradition?
I do have the eyebrows for the gig. I will say that. He has tremendous eyebrows. Something happens to old guys. You know, they say your nose and your ears keep growing. Evidently, your eyebrows continue to grow as well, and no one ever tells you to cut them. And let me just say this. When a guy like Andy Rooney, who gets his hair cut, and old men get their hair cut like every 3 or 4 weeks, and go ahead and do that thing where you take the comb and you slide it under the thing, and then you take the buzzer trimmer thing and you nip it right off. Because you can do that. I know everyone makes fun of Andy Rooney. I love his segments, always have loved his segments, and I guess I'm just a fan of that genre of commentary, because they're not usually that funny, that insightful, or that clever, but they're just clever, insightful, and funny enough to make it interesting, and by the way, short enough to make it interesting for me. It would be an honor for me to do that. I love 60 Minutes. I feel like it's one of the best programs on television. And all of those snobs with the stick up their butt who do the, oh, I don't watch TV, could learn quite a bit from watching shows like 60 Minutes. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate the compliment.
I think the only other guy who sort of did the first person essay kind of thing was Charles Grodin. At one point. Didn't he do 60 Minutes too?
He did, but he was horrific. He would just like go to the auto show and be like, what do we got here? 02 Hyundai. There's a car called a Hyundai. Wow. They'd just cut and he'd go over to the Toyota section. Like,
it's not that easy. People make fun of Andy Rooney, but he's got to come up with something new every week.
The Andy Rooney gigs are tough and the man on the street gigs are tough. And either you can do them or you can't. And if you can't, it's abundantly obvious, very easy. You know who probably would have been great at both those gigs? Our love, our online love advice expert, the dating expert who was on the show.
Christina Dolce?
Yeah, the one who explained warned against being a one-upper. Yeah.
She had don't a lot be of a one-upper, yeah. Like I said before.
She would be insightful. Awesome.
And then the following week, she could follow it up with,
don't be a one-upper, like I said before.
Yeah, we're talking about the Sudan.
Don't be a one-upper, like I said before.
No, there are a lot of problems in Darfur.
Don't be a one-upper, like I said before.
There's pharmaceuticals in our drinking water.
Don't be a one-upper.
Fast on her feet, that kid.
Like she said before.
Like she said before.
What has ever happened to her? We really have to do a follow-up.
I hope she died in a fiery plane crash.
What if she's working with Ricky Rackman?
I hated that broad more than I've hated anyone
you
in
know,
a while.
Sometimes we'll put together a best of. We really should put together one show and the worst of and get the worst guest we've ever had and put them together for one show.
Nobody's even close
to
her.
Check in with Christine Dolce.
Well,
Vita Guerra.
The only reason I hate her is A, her attitude was horrific, but then B, she was touted as a online dating expert.
Don't be a one-upper, like I said before.
Ask game killers.
Let's see. Somebody just saw the movie trailer. Hey, Danny.
Hey, good morning, Adam.
What's happening, Danny?
I'm doing pretty good. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Danny Bonna. Wah, wah. So I stumbled across your movie trailer, The Hammer, thinking it was a porno, but...
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be pretty awesome, though.
I think the movie is better than the trailer is, and everyone seems to agree it's a good movie. It's not a great movie. It's not a blockbuster. It's a nice movie. It's, as I always say, it's an 8.5-plus movie.
And most comedies in the theaters are going to be below a 6.
Yes, I would say below a 6 would be. I don't know what the average, and again, if you go back and look at the Heartbreak Kids, the Comebacks, which was a comedy spoof that was so bad that it almost defied description, and then just your basic Good Luck Chuck and Employee of the Month and all the other, you know, big budget garbage that's out there in the theaters trying to pass itself off as comedies, those are all averaging about a 4.1. Possibly, and I'm feeling generous. What we got here is 8.5 plus. Now, I love movies like Raising Arizona and Fargo, and I wouldn't compare my movie to those movies. Those are movies that come along, well, about once every 15 years, in my opinion. This is not that. This is better than the movie or the comedy that you would be seeing in its place that is currently out. I guarantee when you have a choice between seeing my movie and Drill Bit Taylor... The movie that Owen Wilson liked so much he thought he should try to kill himself after it was done. And by the way, if he thought he was going to be nominated for an Oscar for Drill Bit Taylor, I don't think he ever would have picked up the razor and drawn the water in the tub. So I'm just going to go out on a limb, and I know this sounds cruel, but I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that my movie is funnier than the movie that Owen Wilson tried to kill himself when he was done, when he'd wrapped on. That's just me. That's all you need. That's the biggest indictment of a product you can come up with, which is, are we wrapped? Yes. Good. I'm going home to my Santa Monica apartment. I'm going to attempt to kill myself. I'm not making fun of Owen Wilson, although it sounds like it. I'm just saying that he couldn't have thought that movie was his best work.
Try to wrap his life.
That was no bottle rocket.
And Owen is very talented.
If anyone who saw one quarter of his movies would have to agree with you.
Couple dingers in there.
Couple. All right, this is not that. So thank you, Danny, for
I think Danny probably saw the trailer, sounds like, on MySpace, and you can see it there now.
All right, let's see. Complaining about work, No Country for Old Men, somebody loved us.
It's Dawson's birthday today.
Ah, it is. Yeah. Hey, Alina.
Dude.
It's Lena.
It's just Lena.
Lena. With an A, yes.
All right. Was misspelled, but go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to wish Dawson a happy birthday.
Mm-hmm. How did you know it was his birthday?
I waited for you, man.
I did a little research.
You did?
I did.
And how did you figure that out? IMDb?
MySpace?
No. Oh, I don't want to give away my secrets.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the no followed by crazy laughter. Yeah, always a great sign.
Well, she she called in before 7 a.m., so that was good for 20 pounds.
She's in Hawaii. It's 3 in the morning.
All right, that's good for 40 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Then she knew it was Dawson's birthday. That's good for another 30 pounds. Yeah. Then the maniacal laugh after she says no.
Leave it at bedridden.
Yes.
Is that about right, Lena?
No. Paul?
Not a big gal?
No, I'm not.
What do you do for a living?
I am currently writing a cookbook.
Ah. How to cook from a George Foreman grill in bed.
A thousand ways to cook poi.
What kind of cuisine?
That would be a great one for my next book.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your angle on the cookbook?
It's outdoor entertaining.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And what's your interest in Dawson?
What's my interest in Dawson?
Yeah, are you a fan, a friend?
I think he's a terrific guy. I like everything that I hear.
You have a little crush on him?
Possibly.
Are you a single gal?
Yes, I am.
Shocking. And what are you doing in Hawaii? You calling from Oahu?
I am calling from Oahu.
What brought you there?
I'm staying with my mom. We just lost my father.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm here to support her.
All right. And when did you lose your father?
On the 19th of February.
Oh, very tragic. And when are you heading back to the mainland?
I think whenever I think Mom is a little bit more settled with her situation.
Let me ask this. I don't mean to be condescending or judgmental.
Of course you don't.
No, but I do talk to a lot of people that have this, and I've had many different lives. I've had the sort of rich guy responsible life where I've had many obligations and made tons of money, and I've also had the sort of I'm driving around with a truck full of tools and I'll just work for cash kind of life. But I've never had the opportunity, and I hear this from a lot of people, rich and poor, doesn't seem to have anything to do with money, where at some point in your mid-30s, you can say, hey, man, there's been a little tragedy or a little situation. My mom took a spill in the shower. She broke her hip. So I'm heading out to Idaho where she lives, and I'll be back in a few months. I don't know how that option works. I never feel like I had ever been in the place where if I didn't come back in more than 48 hours, all hell wouldn't break loose. That
right.
there, that either I wouldn't run out of money or something wouldn't be, I wouldn't be kicked out of somewhere or evicted from somewhere or some girlfriend or some friend or somebody wouldn't go where the F or some boss wouldn't go. What do you mean you're going to Hawaii for a couple of months or you'll be back when you're back? How does one arrange one's life where you can do that?
I don't know. Many of those things are happening to me.
Do you have kids?
I do not. Never been married.
Never been married, no kids.
Well, she's lucky because she's a cookbook author, ostensibly, so you can do that from anywhere. She can just take her laptop. If she had a 9-to-5,
mm-hmm.
she could well lose her job being away that long.
Exactly. My time is my own. I'm fortunate that I'm able to give my mom this time.
There is the Family Leave Act, Adam. I don't know if you know about that. If there's a sickness or a death in the family with your child or your parents.
Really? I've never had a job where I could use any of that crap.
Well, it's not great because, you know, it's only for full-timers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So if you work part-time, there goes your job.
All right, Lena, but you wanted to give a tip of the cap to Dawson because it's his birthday.
It is his birthday, yes.
All right.
And you found him on Facebook?
How'd you know?
How did you find out it was Dawson's birthday?
I did a little research.
Please tell me how, bitch, or I will hang up this effing phone, you see?
Well, now that I'm a bitch, why should I tell you?
Oh, F you.
That just made
Jesus
her bitchier.
Christ.
What's the big deal?
What a loser.
Confused.
I can't stand that.
Husband.
I don't know why I have almost no tolerance for about the third time I ask someone a very innocent and straightforward question. They can't give me the answer. And I don't know if they're trying to be funny or they're just super passive aggressive and they make me want to strangle them. But stay in Hawaii and never come back to the mainland.
And by the way, by the third name correction, I've also lost patience with just about anybody.
I agree with that as well. Well, listen, you grieve in your way, and we grieve by making fun of people who are grieving.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I just wanted to know how she knew it was Dawson's birthday, and she could have simply told me. All right, where one more. What do you like? Let's see.
Mine's six is kind of interesting.
Mine's
Sarah?
Six. Parents did you a favor. All right. Sarah?
Hi, Adam.
You say my parents did me a favor.
They did. Because you see, it's benevolent neglect.
Mm-hmm.
He never put the cigarette out in your arm.
No.
Nope. Lease him a car. Several cars. Do whatever you want. Because he never really physically harmed you.
Like,
one time you said to somebody who, like, a guy had had a girlfriend who'd been molested. It was on Love Line.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, you can't really, you know, she's a Porsche. She needs a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And, get a Mustang, because you can work on a Mustang.
Right.
She's a Porsche.
Right.
So you are a Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents sort of kind of gave you no self-esteem so you could build your own self-esteem. And look at where you are.
That's a good point. I just started off as just a blank sheet of paper when I left the house.
And Sarah makes a good point. And to paraphrase Freud, if you can work and you can love, you're not crazy.
Oh, well, thank you. All right. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
I think, thank you. Yes, my parents never called me stupid, never abused me in any physical way or anything. There's no alcoholism or anything.
Sure, in today's
like that.
World, you'd probably be taken by the state. But they did their best.
No, I wouldn't. My parents were just depressed and didn't have much time for anything.
And on the upside, they were good, upstanding people who modeled a certain kind of decency for you.
My parents would never hurt anybody ever or help anybody.
And they probably
ever.
Never lie ever.
No. No, they don't. They
That's
don't know
big.
How to lie. They don't know how to cheat. They don't know how to steal. They would be the ones you would want to find your wallet if, in fact, something came out of your pocket and had money in it. That is, I told you when I was five, I found a $50 bill, not a wallet, a bill, a $50 bill on the floor of the mall in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And my mom said, bring it to Lost and Found. And when I was five, I said, who turns in a $50 bill? Who call you? Yes, turn in a wallet with a $50 bill and ID in it, but a loose $50 bill. And my mom, who had no money whatsoever and has kept that rich tradition of not being rich. The Corollas have a rich tradition of not being rich. They've kept that alive, said, take that $50 bill and go turn it in. And we turned it in.
I love that story.
And a heavy set black woman claimed it.
She must have been so thrilled. And also, you got to see your mom being a decent and good human being.
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way at the time. And then imagine your faith in humanity when you lose $50, a $50 bill at the mall, and you go, well, I'll just go to Lost and Found and see if somebody turned it in. Oh, yeah, here you go. Somebody did turn it in.
A lot of good karma.
Evidently. We'll take a quick break. Oh, hell, we don't have enough time. I'm going to continue talking. We're going to do some rich man, poor man, but I'm going to continue talking to you peeps. Why not? We'll take a quick break. More of you next.
This is 97.1 Free HD2. You'll never miss the Adam Carolla Show, because that's all we've got. Now, here's another great Crank Yankers episode on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Hello.
Hello. Is this the UFO place?
Yes, it is.
Oh, great. My name is Bertram, and I believe I was abducted. Are you the right person to speak to about this?
You got him.
Oh, man. You got to forgive me. I'm a little bit shaken. What's first off, what should I do? I don't know what to do.
Well, what?
Is it okay to use the microwave? Can I drive the car?
You could. It just depends on exactly, you know, are you injured in any way, or...
I do have some rectal bleeding. Not what I would consider a large amount, not more than I've had in the past, although it has not done that in a number of years, and it does concern me. I mean, I do feel like I was probed.
Then you may have been, put it that
yeah.
way.
Yeah, big time, big time.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, and by the way, as far as the probing goes, they can't go in through the mouth. It's always the anus. Seems like one could probe in the mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, well, it depends on what their purpose is. There's been probes in the ears.
Oh, really?
And in the nose as well.
Yeah. I wasn't on that ship.
Yeah.
No, I was on the USS Anus. No, no dinner, no dance, no how do you do, just right for the pooper. You believe me, right?
I wasn't there, so if you say you were, I assume you were.
Yeah, these were the creatures were sort of smooth. You know,
what color?
Well, white for the most part. I think there was one Mexican. They had rode on dirt bikes. They looked like dirt bikes, enduros or something. I mean, I don't know. It's a little sketchy because I did some peyote and I fell asleep in the desert and woke up. I had a Schlitz tall boy in my rectum and I probably wasn't abducted. Yeah, come to think of it, I was raped by teenagers.
Okay, I'll go with that.
They shaved my ass so they looked like crop circles. These weren't aliens. I think they were illegal aliens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, could have been.
Yeah, all right, I'll just I'll get into therapy or start drinking or both. See you, E.T.
Okay.
Nana, nana.
Thank you.
I'm Patton Oswalt, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2HD, the FM talk station.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Keep listening to win $500, courtesy of No Country for Old Men. When a man stumbles on a pickup truck loaded with $2 million, his decision to take the money sets off a chain reaction of violence. It's out now on DVD and Blu-ray, starring Tommy Lee Jones, Javier Bardem, and Josh Brolin. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Kiki, 30, from Beaverton, I'm guessing Oregon... You in Oregon, Beaverton, Kiki?
My Beaver and I both are in Oregon, yes.
Good times. Kiki. And you have a question for Dawson?
Well, I wanted to say happy birthday. And I also was just kind of curious, you guys have occasionally mentioned Teddy the phone screener.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal? Why don't we ever hear more about him? Why don't we hook him up with a listener?
Well,
you mean like in a dating way?
Yeah, Teresa, you have great taste, yes.
Oh, thank you.
So you'd like to set Teddy up. Would you like to know more about Dawson as well?
Please.
because Dawson has just entered the studio. Happy birthday, Brada.
Thank you, Ace.
And what about yourself, Dawson, in 2 minutes or less? Tell us about your journey.
Boy.
Where were you born? Where did you start off?
I was born in the Bay Area. I decided when I was 8 years old that I wanted to be in radio. Because I'd always listen to DJs on the air and then turn down the radio and try to say what they said better. And then I went to school at UCSB, got a degree in communication, flipped pizzas and parked cars until I got a job as a board operator, worked my way up from the bottom, and then became a radio disc jockey.
So you were a decent enough high school student to attend UCSB.
Yeah. I actually did pretty good in high school. Close to a 4.0. Very close to a 4.0 at UCSB as well.
Wow.
But I was a communication major, and I'm fluent in English. So.
Kiki.
Yes.
Is there a smoke detector anywhere near you?
No, I'm actually at work.
Ah, that's a cash register?
No, that would be, I don't want to say too much, but I work in healthcare.
Uh-huh. So there's a dying elderly gentleman just to your right?
No, I would never, no.
All right, so Dawson grows up in the Bay Area, so now we have three people in this room
that are from
the Bay Area.
Concord.
Okay, I know
Used to be the methamphetamine capital of the world.
Hell in Bay.
Then goes to UCSB as a good student, goes to UCSB. What do your parents do, Dawson?
My dad works shift work at a power plant, and my mother is a travel agent.
And not high-paying gigs. No. Where do you get the money to go to UCSB? Because that's not a cheap school.
I was told as soon as I turned 13 years old, we had to get full-time jobs every summer, and every paycheck that I got since I was 13 years old until I went to college, they all went to my parents so that we could pay for college.
Wow. I love that work ethic, and I love that kind of thing. And yes, that is something that the Corollas never, ever, as a matter of fact, I don't think anyone in my family would have thought of that idea. That is a brilliant idea. I would have been PO'd at the time, by the way, if I had to give my, you know, $40 McDonald's check over to Dad for college. But either way, so then he goes to UCSB, and then from there...
From UCSB, I decided that the best way to get into radio is to start in a small market and work your way up to the top because you can get there a lot quicker than rather going to L.A. and being one of 1,000 who wanted to do the same thing.
Right.
So I did that in Santa Barbara for, God, it took me only about 6 months to get on the air. Started doing a weekend air shift at 101.7 K-Lite. Where I had to talk like that and say that
Dawson
St.
Clair.
Was coming up. Yeah.
The quiet stone.
Did you always use your real name?
Randy St. Dawson. Always use your real name. Got on the air, and unfortunately, speaking of air, we're out of air time, but we'll continue this story soon, I promise. And we'll get Teddy in here to tell his story during John and Jeff's show. Not, of course, during the prime air time in the morning. And we'll get Rhino, dumb button guy in here, and board op, pre-op, board op Bill
to
get in here.
We can also stand to learn a lot more about producer Angie.
Angie as well. All right, Kiki. That's as much as we have time for, but thank you for your inquiry. And thank you. All right. Quick break. T-Bone.
Happy birthday again, Mike Dawson. In the news, big news breaking about Elliot Spitzer. A lot of stuff happening this morning, and new information about how much he spent on...
The hookers, the call girls, the prostitutes, the whores.
Yeah, I was watching the news this morning. It's like, he spent $80,000 on high... price to, and I thought, yeah, no S with the high price.
Yeah, we get it. That's a lot of volume.
Unless you're really moving some traffic through your pants. Because I've seen hookers on the point.
Also, well, some of his sexual requests have now been made
public. That's my favorite part. And that's why I have some very important advice for any guys thinking about cheating, and we'll do that next.
Later, Hosen.
Now, here's another Adam Carolla comedy clip from Nick DiPaolo.
Can't even get good help at the hospital now. They hire anybody, man. I stepped on a nail, had to go to the emergency room. You go to the emergency room, you need immediate care. What do they make you do when you get there? I waited for 3 hours, and this nurse comes out with this pissy attitude. How are you going to pay for this? Said, with my life, if you don't pick up the pace. I'm bleeding like Ted Kennedy's liver. Could I get a Band-Aid? Thank you. I don't want to say there's a long line in the waiting room, but the guy in front of me is being treated for a musket wound. How'd you hurt your back? Fell off the Trojan horse, so. The head nurse comes out. Is there a John Quincy Adams here?
More Adam Carolla coming your way next on 97.1 32 HD, SoCal's high definition FM talk station.
I'm David Tell, and you're listening to 97.1 32 HD. I can't stop saying letters. Q.
To the Adam Carolla Show.
How much do you love it?
Still to come this morning, we'll recap last night's American Idol.
You gotta be in it to win it at this point, dog.
We'll hang out with Bizarro Carolla in a round of Evil Adam.
No finer carpenter than Ty Pennington.
HGTV's Eric Stromer stops by to help Adam out with a little home improvement.
Love is in the air as usual.
Teresa Strasser delivers the news.
Here's a story about panties.
Powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today? Call 866-901-ADAM if you want to talk to the Ace Man. And stream the Adam Carolla Show at AdamCarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live.
It's not that romantic. It's repetitive crap.
And now, Adam Carolla.
Well, sure, it's me, but it's tease time to shine with a little something called the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
This headline from our content partner at MSN.com. Governor Eliot Spitzer has apparently decided to resign his office, according to the New York Post. That resignation is imminent. They are saying Spitzer has begun notifying top state officials of his decision, and the paper goes on to say that the decision came after an agonizing night. No doubt about that.
At least he didn't work his religion into the mess. And I don't know what he is, but there's nothing worse than when this guy gets together with his clergy and they sit down and discuss it.
I've got a very bad feeling that he might be one of my people.
Really?
I
Jew.
Don't have that for certain, but just from the name?
Spitzer and Elliot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Both tips. On the other hand, $5,000 for a BJ, that don't sound like your tribe.
I don't know if I appreciate that. Speaking of the money he spent on BJs and such,
mm-hmm.
The latest reports say that he spent up to $80,000 on call girls since 2002.
It's been 6 years.
Yeah. Mm. Spitzer was doing something called smurfing, which is where sexual.
Oh, no.
Smurfing is where a person splits one large amount into a bunch of smaller cash payments so that law enforcement, the banks, and the IRS don't get suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Spitzer was allegedly making several small payments into an account that was operated by the Emperor's Club, where he was client 9, and that's what initially drew the bank's attention. Once the IRS realized these payments were coming from Spitzer, they passed the information on to prosecutors in New York, which eventually led them to using a wiretap to catch Spitzer lining up some expensive call girl action.
Mm-hmm. See, we're worried about the Patriot Act, but believe me, everyone, the government is already well entrenched in your ass trying to get your money. So what do you care if they hear your cell phone conversations? The only thing they're interested in is things that have to do with money, and they know everything you do. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Does that bother you that you can't buy anything or pay anyone or do anything without them being aware of it? Or if you don't cut them in for between 25 and 40% of your salary each and every month, they will be up your tukai. They're already in, so who cares?
If you have unusual wire transfer activity coming out of your bank account, mm-hmm. they will take notice and report it to the IRS. Now, I had never transferred money in my life. Last year, I had a few big wire transfers because of my brother being sick. Do you think the IRS or anybody or the FBI came knocking on my door? No, because they probably looked into it for a second and realized that there was nothing there. If you have nothing to hide, you shouldn't be concerned that banks are reporting unusual activity. In fact, they might be catching somebody who's stealing from your account.
Here's the whole thing about Big Brother. Big Brother has two agendas. Big Brother would like to A, take your money. B, take your money. C, take your money. And then D, try to have you not blow up via dirty bomb or crazed terrorist wearing an explosive vest so that they could then continue taking your money. That's about it. They're the mob. We take your money. We focus almost solely on taking your money, although we do realize if the street lights go out and fresh water stops coming out of your tap, there will be anarchy and we'll no longer get to take your money. So we'll take your money and we'll look out for terrorists and we'll focus mainly on taking your money, but we'll keep one eye open for the terrorists, and that's all we're really interested in. So we'll listen to your cell phone conversations, we'll intercept some emails, we'll look at your bank accounts, mainly with an eye on taking your money and a little bit of terrorists. That's about it. That's how Big Brother works. That's how the Patriot Act works. That's all they want. They don't want to lock up innocent people in Guantanamo Bay. Why? We're revenue streams for them. And if they lock me up for nothing, then they're going to lose themselves several hundred thousand dollars a year in revenue and, in fact, have to pay 80 grand a year to keep me locked up. You do the math on that one. They are a company who needs money. That's how they work. I'm a prime earner for them. There's nothing in it for them to lock me up. Thus, never get locked up.
The VIG is very high for you.
Yes, it is. And it all adds up for you as well. And that's what they want. So here's how you know they're not going to lock up innocent people for no reason. Nothing in it for them.
Well, I have this just in. Not since Roy Cohn has anyone been this much of a Shonda for the Goyim. Elliot Spitzer, according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, Jew. I'm not happy about that.
Well, every once in a while, one of you's got to slip up. Yeah, but this is good trouble.
It is?
Well,
spent 80 grand on whores.
Okay, but let me.
Was money laundering.
High priced whores.
While busting prostitution rings.
Okay. Not the poster child for the Jews, but let me say this. The Jews oftentimes are accused of crimes that are not violent and not masculine crimes. They're
right.
The sort of
Michael Milken kind of stuff.
Yes, they're embezzling. They're basically pyramid schemes, bilking old women out of their savings and things like this. At least this is a virile crime. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
this
exactly.
This guy spent a bunch of money because he wanted to get laid, and I would argue that's a very, very masculine crime.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. Now, just how exactly did he want to get laid?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these high-priced call girls have begun to come out of the woodwork. ABC managed to get a phone interview with one of them, a 22-year-old.
Woodwork, good name for TSV.
Mm-hmm.
High-priced call girls coming out of it.
Yeah.
This high-priced call girl said that she had had sex with 48-year-old Spitzer 2 years ago. At that time, she was 20.
Mm-hmm.
The escort said she knew who Spitzer was before having sex with him because he called her from the attorney general's office in Brooklyn. Back then, he was the attorney general, not the governor. She also said Spitzer was a nice guy who gave good tips.
Mm-hmm.
And, quote, he didn't do anything that was unclean. But we're hearing some slightly different things from another call girl named Kristen, no age given. She told FBI agents in an affidavit that Spitzer was not difficult to deal with, but there were some safety issues with him. Spitzer wanted to have sex with Kristen the night before Valentine's Day without a condom.
Mm-hmm.
But she demanded he wear one, and Elliot Bareback Spitzer eventually caved.
Well, let me, I was going to give you my tip on how not to get busted cheating.
Oh, good.
Yeah, when you're with the prostitute or with the chick that you don't really know is a prostitute, but she's going to write a tell-all book at some point, your name's going to get mentioned in it. Whenever I step out on my wife, I always work different techniques. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So, it's, for instance, I'll perform a couple hours of oral sex on the lady.
Yeah.
And then we'll watch The View for an hour, and then we'll spoon. And then later on, when she's reporting the way the Ace Man did it in the sack, I'll turn to my wife and go, come on.
Does that sound like me?
Does that sound like me?
It's not my MO.
It's not my thing. He said, penny for your thoughts. Then we spoon. Then he performed 2 hours of oral on me, and then he said he was going on a run and wanted to know if I needed anything.
Right. I mean, all criminals have signatures, and these are not yours.
Come on, baby. Does that sound anything? And then he made sure and made the bed before we left the hotel.
Exonerated.
He showered meticulously. He's a meticulous groomer. He got right back into his suit, and he actually made the bed before we, and left a very generous tip for the maid, too, before we left. And then I will do that thing. Come on. When's the last time
right.
I... Have you ever known me to... I'll say things like that. They'll immediately know. Conversely, if you go right into your thing...
Right.
If you got a thing... Like, if you have a signature thing, it's like, hey, he liked to spit on me, or one of those weird things like that. If your wife hears that, or 1 ounce of that, she'll immediately connect the dots, yes? I mean, just think about any partner you've ever been with, and kind of what they're into,
yeah,
what their
proclivities.
Yes, you hear that, pow, dead.
You want
dead
her to say
water.
Something like, he sat by silently while I watched The View. Like you don't want her to report on what you would normally.
First, he suggested
do.
We read a good book. Right. And then I'll be able to do that. See, honey? Come on.
So, but here's the thing.
He praised Whoopi.
At even the lowest number of diamonds, because it's 1 to 7 diamonds, how they rate the prostitutes. Let's just say you got a 2-diamond girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to cost you, I don't know, a couple grand an hour.
Mm.
Now you got to spend an hour
performing oral.
Mm-hmm. That's 1 hour, right? That's going to cost you a couple grand. Then hearing about her day.
Mm, yeah.
Asking her how she's feeling.
Thoughts. What's going on?
Right. And then the time between
feeling?
The book and The View.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be expensive.
It could cost 15, 20 grand, but either way, I've covered my tracks.
All right. Well, in any case, Spitzer is now scheduled to speak at 11:30 Eastern time. The news conference will be aired on CNN, and we will bring you the highlights of that as well.
Well, it'll be nice to see his wife paraded out.
You think she'll
stage.
Be trotted out this time,
they
or is she done?
They always trot them out. They always do that.
I am a gay American.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mrs. McGreevy.
Mm-hmm.
She was in shock.
Yeah. You know, it's worse. You never really think about this part. This took place over, what did you say, 6 years, 7 years, something like that?
Yeah, it looks like from at least 2002.
I can guarantee you there's a gal or two who was working her way through college working for the Emperor's Club, who hooked up with Spitzer, who graduated college, never said a word, married her sweetheart, went on, had a couple of kids, is now living in Indiana, and her name may pop up.
Oh, yeah.
On one of these things, which has got to be awful weird for her dude and her new situation, this thing being 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Well, you know, an interesting thing about this case is that I think getting busted for hiring a prostitute in the eyes of the law isn't as bad as money laundering and paying for the movement of a prostitute across state lines, which he did, violates the Mann Act. So the real trouble is going to be for the financial misdoings.
Yeah. And by the way, is that Mann Act still necessary in this day and age of $39 Southwest flights? You getting a hooker from the next county, really? That factors into the whole mess? He's in New Jersey, and he goes to Pennsylvania and grabs himself a hooker, and that's a big deal?
Well, I think he brought one. He had one come in from New York to D.C.
Well, who cares where they traveled from?
The law.
It's called traveling for business. I know, but that's some sort of...
That business happens to be illegal, while you and I don't think it should be.
I agreed, but what I mean is the part where you either get it... Look, if I live in Detroit and I go grab myself a hooker from Windsor and bring her across the line, what the hell's the difference?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
what's the traveling part? Isn't that just some sort of like Jim Crow archaic law from the turn of the century so that black men couldn't travel with white women or something like that? I mean, do we need the Mann Act? Jesus Christ, you can get anywhere in this country for $40 now in 20 minutes.
Well, I've been wondering what kind of Mann Act you get when you hire a 7-diamond lady.
Mm.
They will charge you the 7-diamond, that's the top of the line girl,
mm-hmm.
31 grand a day.
Why not go 30 or 35? What's the 31 for?
I don't know.
All right. I think there's certain numbers that are done to make you think about it.
Right.
You know, when the plumber goes, all right, well, we did the whole repipe in the house. That's $14,921.26. He's just farting out that number. He knows.
Right.
He knows if he says 15 grand, you'll go, whoa, wait a minute. But if he tacks on the 89, 29 cents and all that crap, you go like, oh, this guy's really done his homework. That 31 is to make you think they thought about it.
I agree, but I am anxious to see what a seven diamond girl looks like.
For $31,000.
That's more like two diamonds and both lab made.
31 grand a day. I'm going to need to hump your mom, too.
For that, throw in
That's
mom.
That's the way I like to toss in mom, granny, and you have a younger sister.
And legal advice you mentioned yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 31,000. I'd like a life coach as well as a schlong coach.
Thank you for that, BJ. By the way, how am I going to get out of this if I get busted?
That's what I want, yes. And by the way, if there's a terrorist attack, I want you to throw yourself in front of the bullets. I want you to know evasive driving techniques, and I want your pimp's car to have bulletproof glass in it. Like, I feel like $31,000 a day. And how many times can you orgasm? Do you know what I mean?
Me, personally?
Let's find out.
Well, one? All I'm saying is like, I feel like I would get with one of these seven diamond hookers,
yeah.
And I'd meet her at like 10 a.m., and I'd be like, hi, baby, $31,000. What time is it, 10 a.m.? Because I'm going to be giving it to you until the street lights. Oh, Christ, get out of here. God, you make me sick. What the hell's on SportsCenter? Where's my money? Oh, Christ, come back! That's how it would work.
I can see that cycle a few times.
You want to talk about pressure? I'd be on, I'd have a intravenous of like B12 and a medical team around me. Like, listen. I would call up Dr. Drew and I'd be like, look, I'm spending $31,000 a day for this seven diamond hooker. Now, if I have one orgasm, then that means that costs me $31,000. Two, I'm down to 15.5. Three, well, you just keep going with me. I'm going to get it down to about $9 a pop here, but I'm going to need your help. I need a vitamin B12 shot. I need that Ovaltine stat. I need a cold compress. I need a crash cart. Give me a banana. I need a lot of potassium.
You need corner milk.
Actually, give me two bananas.
Oh, no.
I need potassium.
Oh, no.
I need backup. I'm going to need sweatbands. I'm going to need some of that Under Armour that I see advertised on the football games. I need everything. As a matter of fact, I'm going into training a month in advance. Yeah, get me on a Gatorade drip. I need to keep the electrolytes through the roof here.
The hammer, too.
Well, here's another surprising bust. You remember Marianne from Gilligan's Island?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are now officially two former Gilligan's Island cast members with pot busts on their records.
Mm.
First, the late, great Bob Denver. Gilligan himself was a bit of a pot enthusiast prior to his death in 2005.
You'd smoke pot, too, if every time you went to the mall, people yelled, hey, little buddy, and then hit you with their hat.
That doesn't happen to Bonaducci.
Oh.
Yesterday, we found out that 69-year-old Dawn Wells just settled with the law over a marijuana bust of her own.
Mm-hmm.
Marianne has been messing with the Mary Jane.
Mm.
Although this is the first time anybody is hearing about it. Dawn was actually busted back on October 18th of last year. She was driving home from her own surprise party, a birthday party back in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
She got pulled over for driving erratically. The arresting officer said in his report, quote, I exited my patrol vehicle and immediately was able to smell a strong odor of burning marijuana.
Hey, Marianne, what I need you to do for me right now is go ahead and put out the spleef for me, okay, right now. I'm going to have to ask you to go ahead right now, okay, and step off of the island, okay? I'm going to have to ask you to go ahead and patch up the minnow, and I'm going to have to ask the skipper and Ginger and Thurston Howell III and his wife, Lovey, and I'm going to have to go ahead and ask Professor as well to go ahead and board the middle. Go ahead and step off the island for me right now, okay? Ma'am?
Yes.
Ma'am, have you been smoking marijuana?
Yes.
Okay, what I'm going to have to ask you to do for me, okay, right now, is to go ahead and step out of the vehicle, okay, right now?
Okay.
Have you been celebrating a birthday, ma'am?
Yeah, it was my surprise party.
Well, I got another surprise for you, man. You're going to spend the night in the Hooskow, okay, right now? For me?
I'm 69 years old, officer.
That'll be one of the activities you'll be performing in the Hooskow, okay, right now? For me? Okay, right now? As a matter of fact, if you'd like to get out of this ticket, Marianne.
Oh,
There's something that sounds remotely familiar to your name and to your age that could get you out of this ticket okay right now.
Listen, can I speak to a lawyer?
What I'm going to need you to do for me okay right now is to go ahead and start performing like one of them seven diamond whores okay right now for me.
I have no idea what a seven diamond
whore. What I'm going to ask you to do for me right now, is to go ahead and give me license and registration, okay, right now. And by the way, I do enjoy the short cutoff denim jeans you're wearing, okay, right now, and the plaid shirt tied in a knot, okay, right now.
Yeah, if we could just keep this under wraps. I mean, people know me as a very wholesome.
I smell marijuana. Have you smoking a marijuana cigarette, okay, right now, for me, okay, right now, what I'm going to have to ask you to do right now, okay?
Yeah, I was smoking a little marijuana at my surprise party.
Okay, ma'am, I'm going to have to go ahead and bust you for a chicken-ass law that should have been off the books, okay, right now. As a matter of fact, there's the Man Reefer Act. Have you been transporting that doobie across state lines, okay, right now? For me, okay, right now?
Listen,
what I'm going to ask you to do, okay, right now?
I really would like to keep this out of the press.
I'm going to have to ask you to go ahead and get in my cruiser, okay, right now?
Can you just be cool, man, for a second?
I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to ask you to harsh your mellow, okay, right now.
you're harshing my mellow.
I'm gonna ask
you
to do for me right now. Okay.
Yeah. Now here's what happened. He continued to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always vehicle, never car.
Ma'am, what I need you to do is go ahead and step out of the vehicle, okay, right now for me. What I have to ask you to do for me is step out of the vehicle, okay, right now.
He said, as I approached the vehicle, I noticed all four windows of the vehicle were lowered and the female driver was not wearing a jacket. I don't know why that's relevant.
That's relevant in that she was not hot and lowered the vehicles in her car. She'd been smoking spleef, saw the cop car, hit the button, lowered all so that the hot
Got
smoke
it.
Could get out of it.
Right.
And why would she be freezing in her car? If you're wearing a big jacket, you could say, I rolled the windows down because I was hot.
You're absolutely right. The cops searched the vehicle.
Yes, I am. Okay, right now.
After searching the vehicle, he found four partially smoked joints and two cases used for storing marijuana in the vehicle. He gave Donna a field sobriety test, which she failed.
Okay, right now, Dawson said those were referred to as a stash. All right, okay, right now.
Sorry.
What I'm going to have to do for me right now is to go ahead and use the vernacular that Heschers use when they store. They don't call it a storage for marijuana. They call it a stash. Squaresville, okay, right now.
Sorry, she had two, what do you call them, stash,
mm-hmm.
stash boxes
mm-hmm.
in her vehicle.
Mm.
She reached a deal with prosecutors under which she pleaded guilty to one count of reckless driving. She got 5 days in jail and 6 months probation.
What the F? What year is this? I swear to God, I grew up amongst a bunch of hippies in the 70s who thought that, you know, in 1972, in... February of 1972, if you'd ask any of my mom's or my mom's hippie friends when they thought pot would be legalized, they would have said, I don't know, this summer, maybe the fall, September.
Well, I'll leave you with these important tips.
We're busting. Still busting people for
Marianne,
weed.
Marianne, in her
Jesus
vehicle.
Jesus Christ, what's going on? And can I ask this? Does every retarded pussy politician just do that I'm tough on drugs line? They don't know the difference between drugs?
That would sound about right.
Yes, it does. All right.
I'll leave you with this from the upcoming book, Pot Culture, in which a lot of celebrities speak candidly about their marijuana habits.
Mm-hmm.
Some important tips.
Yes.
For instance, Adam Levine from Maroon 5 recommends partaking whilst listening to the music of Lauryn Hill, Herbie Hancock, Stevie Wonder, and Miles Davis.
Yeah. Mm.
Adrienne Curry has a tip for covering up your breath.
Because,
you know, her husband, Christopher Knight, doesn't like her smoking pot. She says...
He hitched his wagon to the wrong team.
She says that she carries orange lip gloss, which covers up the pot smell, and she also recommends icebreaker mints.
All right.
Jonah Hill...
Mm-hmm.
From Superbad.
But here's the thing with the tells. It's just like the cop pulling up in the winter. You're not wearing a jacket.
Right.
All four windows are down of your vehicle. that's a tell. Like when someone's chewing on a mint all day, they're covering something up. It's like when you smell someone's perfume from across the building, you're like, what the hell were you doing last night? You know what I mean?
Right.
Why is that there if, in fact, you weren't doing something? So every time Chris Knight smells a mint coming from his wife's mouth, he'll know that her mouth was on a bong 10 minutes earlier.
Yeah, especially after it's in the book.
It's noon and you're in a sweatsuit and you've got the orange lip gloss and the mint.
Right.
Right.
Something's up. Right.
Well, Jonah Hill demonstrates something useful in the book, which is how to turn an apple into a bong. Also sharing their pot secrets, Melissa Etheridge, Cal Penn, Rob Thomas, and Steve-O. The book Pop Culture comes out May 1st. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news sponsored by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today?
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser.
Now, it's called Pop Culture?
Pot.
Or pot.
Yes, Pot Culture.
That's what I thought. All right. Look, everyone,
guess who wrote the foreword?
Adam Carolla.
Dawson, who?
It's right there.
Who?
Tommy Chong.
Tommy Chong. Look, I get hooked up with the pot groups. There's two groups I get lumped in with, the potheads and the atheists. I'm not...
A lot of crossover.
I'm not interested in being affiliated with any group in that I'm an atheist. I have no religious beliefs. Now everyone leave me alone. I became an atheist so I wouldn't have to join a group. Joining a group of atheists would be redundant. As far as the pot goes, I smoke pot every once in a blue moon. Not really my drug of choice. On the other hand, who cares? I know people. Look, I know people that either smoke pot or they don't smoke pot. The ones that smoke pot, smoke pot. They just smoke pot. They find pot, they get pot, they buy pot, and they smoke pot. Some of them eat it, some of it smoke it, some of it do both. I'm the kind of guy who doesn't smoke too much pot, but if I'm at a party and someone hands me a joint, I'm definitely in. Aren't we over this as a society yet? How much money? And I found out, by the way, and this statistically is about 3 years old, but I almost couldn't stop vomiting. I found out that this country spent more on marijuana eradication and more on marijuana control than it did on methamphetamines about 3 years ago, and I almost vomited into my sombrero. Can you believe that? I mean, one drug is a killer, and not only a killer of the people that are doing the drugs, a killer of their spouses, kids, neighbors, and so on and so forth. The adage, speed kills, that's not about you getting killed. That's about you getting high and killed. As a matter of fact, I do believe, as does Dr. Drew, Nicole Brown Simpson is a victim of a speed killing. There was methamphetamine involved with probably OJ, if not him, whoever did it. That's one of those, hey, when you get stabbed 86 times, that's right. That's not a guy who's high on pot.
There's rage and speed.
There's rage and speed. Speed kills the person who does the speed, and it kills the people around the people that do the speed. Lots of crimes are done, and especially violent crimes. But no, as a society, our government is focused more in terms of dollars on marijuana eradication than speed. Something nobody cares about. I really can't find a person that cares about it anymore. It's one of these things where it's become sort of like a food. It's like, look, if you're vegan, you're vegan. If you eat meat, you eat meat. You just go do your own thing. I personally, well, fill in the blank. I either eat meat or I'm vegetarian or I'm whatever. Or I'm agnostic or I'm Catholic or I'm Jewish. It's your personal prerogative. We're in America. If you want to get high, you get high. Now, if you want to get high and get behind the wheel of a vehicle or school bus or steamroller or go to your job as an air traffic controller, now we have a problem. But if you want to get drunk and do any of those activities, we have a problem as well. Do we not?
If OJ had been high on pot, what do you think would have happened?
He would have been like, as soon as I'm done, sinking this putt on my lawn, and then he would have heard a ding go off and he would have yelled, hot pocket, and run right back into the house. And that would have been it.
Two lives would have been saved by pot.
This is my feeling. If look, and I've said this once, I've said it 1,000 times, and please, pussy politicians, listen to me. If you had your choice between you and your family living in amongst 100 chronic pot smokers versus one family of meth heads, what would you go for?
Well, the pot smokers, obviously.
1,000 potheads versus one family of meth heads that didn't even live next door. They could have been at the end of the cul-de-sac. Still, one family versus 1,000 potheads. Well, stop calling drugs drugs and start working on it. We don't do crime as crime, like, hey, murder or stealing a bag of Doritos. No different in the eyes of the law. Crime is crime. There's a vast difference between people that take people's lives and people that don't feed the meter and forget to pay their parking tickets. Can't we do that with drugs? We can't make any definition or delineation between the different drugs, the ones that are killers, the ones that destroy families, the ones that destroy lives, and the ones that are very recreational and like essentially red wine. I mean, I would say pot is about as dangerous and wrecks about as many lives as red wine does. Yes?
I would agree.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And what are we, you know, why don't we demand anything of our politicians? How come this never comes up? Okay, just go ahead and spend billions of our hard-earned tax-paying dollars on something we don't give an S about.
Why isn't the pot lobby more effective?
They're still asleep right now.
Tangent.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back... Eric Stromer coming in today, by the way. Do a little home improvement with that hunk. Also, Evil Adam.
It's your evil twin.
Fell in love with this bit. And when we come back, got $500 to give away. Why? We're going to do a little rich man, poor man. You're talking about hookers. There's a rich man, poor man activity right there.
Sure, it could cost you 31 grand or 2 cigarettes and a buck.
Yeah, these are all the things that the poor guys participate in and the rich guys participate in. It started off many years ago when I was thinking about an outdoor shower. And I said, if you have an outdoor shower, you are either filthy rich, you know, one by the pool, or you are poor as hell. And then appliances outdoors, too. When you got that washer dryer out in the pool bungalow, you've arrived. Or when there's one just on a porch or a field of a family of raccoons live inside of it, that is poor. Rich man, poor man. Things only the rich and poor share. We'll give you ours. You give us yours. And the best is getting $500. We'll do it next. You'd be
supposed to. If y'all are like me, sometimes you wake up a little late and you miss out on what this man says. Well, we got Adam Carolla all day right here on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
KLSX HD2 Los Angeles. 97.1 Free HD2. SoCal's high definition FM talk station.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. In theaters March 21st, Adam Carolla in The Hammer.
How would you like to move a few rounds with Malice Blake? That sounds fantastic. Perhaps later we could put my balls in a vice.
The Hammer, in theaters March 21st. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Playing a little rich man, poor man with y'all. Game I invented while not writing jokes for Kimmel, while I was sitting around supposed to be writing jokes for Kimmel a few years back over on his show. And speaking of his show, I'll be on it this evening. Oh. All righty then. Now, $500 given out to the best one. I have some good ones here. Let's toss one. Here's an interesting rich man, poor man.
All right.
Latex gloves.
Ooh.
Either you're donning the latex
right.
gloves, putting them on. Either, you know, plastic surgeon
right,
working
physician.
Out of Beverly Hills, or you're cleaning the head at a truck stop.
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
That's good, that's really the latex good. Gloves. How about this one? Groceries delivered. I mean, either you have
yeah.
enough cash where you can have the organic stuff driven
right.
over to the house. Or,
Fresh Direct or something.
Or it's the Meals on Wheels.
Yeah.
You know, the local mission is
when
dropping off.
When the food
off.
Comes to you.
Yeah, the food coming to you. Yeah, Meals on Wheels, local mission, dropping off the sack a day old whatever because, you know, your golf cart, your Cushman won't make it back up the hill kind of thing. Versus just rich person that has too much time to push the cart around the Gelsons, huh? How about this one? Outdoor TV. The wall-mounted plasma over by the pool or the old black and white that's just sitting on top of the apple crate on the porch. Here's one that I had to read twice, but I thought was kind of interesting. Exposed beams in the house.
Ah, it's a look?
Yeah, now if you live in a manor, right, you will have big exposed, you know, hand-carved, hand-painted beams in the house.
Do you have those?
Versus, yes, I do. Yeah. Versus your sort of log cabin. I mean, versus your... actually, I grew up, my room growing up was, as I've said many times, was a service porch that was about 5 foot wide, and it had the, well, the reason I know it was a service porch is it had the meter in it, so the meter man used to have to come into our house and read the meter. The meter man, imagine the meter guy, the city guy, the guy from the city who comes to your house and read the meter.
Yeah.
Imagine once a month he's standing in your bedroom reading the meter.
I hope that's all it was doing. Or this is going to be a way worse story.
I was a two-diamond hooker back then. Hey, times were tight. We had to do what we had to do. T, I'm not proud of it, but on the other hand, I'm holding my head up. Yeah, I had the water heater, the meter, and our washing machine, not dryer, washing machine, in the room. And I had exposed beams, but they weren't exposed beams. They were 2x4 ceiling rafters with no drywall on them because somebody was too lazy to put insulation and then a drywall. When you put a ceiling on a room, you put your rafters, you put your 2x6s or whatever you're using, put your plywood on top of that, put your roof on top of that, and then put a little insulation and some drywall. We skipped that part. But either way, that's an exposed beam ceiling versus, you know, the big Spanish, you know, hand-carved beams. How about this one? Vehicle you get around your property in. Either you're in the golf cart. When I went to Ivan Reitman's house, when Jimmy and I went to Ivan Reitman's house, we had to take a golf cart to get around his property. It takes too long to walk down his driveway. Versus that little maroon-colored lark thing that the folks that are... Well, they say they have a bad hip, but it just looks like they're too fat to get along.
Often,
yeah.
Yes.
You know what thing? Here's the thing, really, about that little electric personal get around your own property transportation. Basket in the rear, good sign. Basket in the front, bad sign.
Yes, that's right.
Would you agree on that?
Yeah.
Tell you, if the basket's in the front of almost anything you own, that's bad.
Right.
If it's
your,
in the
your
rear,
Schwinn, your Lark.
Yeah, basket in the rear, that's what you want. Then you're in a golf cart and you're touring the grounds.
Right.
Let's see. How about this one? Jay, Assistant Jay brought this one up. Getting married on your own property.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is a super rich guy move and a super low rent poor guy move as well.
That's excellent.
How about this one? Guest, or not necessarily guest, but just use of the porta potty. Again, you're throwing the rich guy wedding where you have 1,000 people invited. You're going to have a couple of those high-end porta-potty ones.
Right.
The ones on the trailers, they're a little bit nice. You're going to need to set some of those up next to the outdoor tent where the band's playing, right? Versus the construction site one. T, how do you feel?
Okay. How do you like this one? Bilingual or multilingual? My grandfather from Budapest spoke 6 languages, but he drove a fruit truck.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, you could have a Harvard professor in linguistics.
Fruit truck, by the way, anything board op Bill drives.
Wow.
Jeez.
If he gets behind the wheel of a Hummer, a 69 Vette, or an Enzo Ferrari, it immediately becomes a fruit truck.
Good old Grandpa Albert drove a fruit truck in the Bronx, but he spoke 6 languages, and a lot of rich people are multilingual.
Yes. It seems like the more languages you speak, the less you get paid. At a certain point, it turns the corner, though.
Right.
It's sort of like the more jobs you have, the less you get paid. You tell about these people, like, my mother worked 4 jobs. But she didn't get paid for any of the 4 of them. At a certain point, though, when you start speaking 8 and 12 languages and start having 15 and 20 jobs, that means you're on the board of a whole bunch of companies.
Right.
Then you start getting paid. So, 1 job, 1 language, good. two jobs, two languages, bad, but once you get over six or eight, then it's good again, right?
Yeah, that's right. We have some money to give away, courtesy of No Country for Old Men, which is out on DVD and Blu-ray.
All right. Shall we, we have an intro.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Poor man.
My name is Todd Roland Washington.
This is an interesting one Anthony has. We'll see if he can articulate it. Anthony?
Hello, Adam.
What do you got for me, my brother?
I got multiple phones or cell phones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Multiple phones. Go ahead and explain that.
Okay, now, we've had a lot of poor friends that I've known growing up, and it seems usually they'll have a house phone or so, and then it'll be on. Then about 3 months later, they change the phone, the name to somebody's bill, it's in their kid's name or it's in their grandmother's name. But then they'll have a cell phone, they get a plan they really can't afford, all of a sudden they cancel it. Then 3 weeks later, they got a new phone or a prepaid phone with a random number.
Yeah, lots of hopping around in the phone department.
Yeah, and as far as it goes with rich people, say like the things that happened with Paris Hilton, somebody cracked into her sidekick,
right.
Gave away Snoop Dogg's number, gave away Nicole Richie's number, all of a sudden all the celebrities' phone numbers are out, so they got to change their number.
Right.
Or they just have a number for friends and family, and then other numbers for their agents, lawyers, other celebrities, things like
all
that.
All right, let's give it a 7.
Good.
A 7, I'm not sure if it's going to take home the $500, but it's not bad. How about use a shovel at a construction site?
You either
have the gold-plated one with the groundbreaking ceremony, or you just have the poor Mexican guys just sitting there digging all day in the hot sun.
How about, I don't know if we've done this one before, but how about Carl on line 2?
Mm-hmm. Carl?
Yeah.
What do you got for us?
Rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Either it's the rich celebrity that's going into rehab for a little 3-month stint, or it's court-ordered because you broke into a convenience store to get meth.
Yeah, solid. I think we've had it before, but yeah. I think it's still pretty solid. All right, Carl, you're in the running. How about this? This one sounds weird, but surfing. There's two kinds of guys who surf. There's the unemployable Hesher. That's 98% of guys who surf. And then there are the guys who sold their dot-com company
right.
at age 47. And they're the super rich, cool surfer guy. Like, if you go down to Malibu, you will see surfboards on top of Porsche Cayennes every once in a while. And you'll go, that is a super rich. I know they make a lot of commercials with these guys. It's that same. It's always the same dude. It's the white dude in his mid-40s who's bald or balding, who is not fat. But he's got a gut on him, but you wouldn't call him fat because he's got big forearms and big calves, and he seems to be in better shape than you are because he surfs every single day. The longboard dude.
Yeah.
The surfing guy. Yeah, the middle-class guy doesn't have time to get out the Taurus wagon after
few,
the beach.
There are very few middle-class surfers.
All right, what else do you got
well,
here, T?
Well, I don't know if this could be good. I'm not sure what he means, but Mark on line 6.
Mark?
Yeah, hey, Adam.
What's happening?
Well, for lack of a better name, we went broad generational age gap, meaning that it's sort of backwards between aunts and uncles and then their nieces and nephews. Like, mm-hmm. Donald Trump will still be having kids long after Ivanka mm-hmm. is having
yeah.
kids.
Mm-hmm.
And also the same thing, I have a lot of Hispanic friends who are hanging out with their uncle because he's 2 years younger than them.
Yeah, I do feel like that is a very strong, interesting, rich
solid.
Man, poor man thing, which is to say, you have the thing, you know, you have the Anna Nicole Smith syndrome where the just old rich white guy gets hooked up with the stripper because he's 85 and she's 26, but he's filthy rich and they get to do that. And then every once in a while there's that old blues singer syndrome that's a dirt poor black dude who's 75 who has a 19-year-old girlfriend. Yeah, that's not a middle class problem right
no.
there.
This could be a winner.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I like Mark. All right, I'm going to try this with John. John?
Adam, Teresa, what's happening?
Rich man,
hey.
Poor man. Let's do it, Brada.
20-inch and above wheels on
okay.
your car.
Yeah, all right, let me try to fill this in for you. You are saying that if you bought yourself a brand new Rolls Royce or Bentley, it might have 20-inch rims stock on
it. Or maybe you want to put some nice ones on it, some 24s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're rolling into the 82 Accord...
Right.
That you bought off the lot off, you know, the corner lot for, $2,500 that barely
mm-hmm.
runs.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be going to spend money on some 22-inch chrome wheels.
No, listen, I feel you, Holmes. Now, here's what he's saying. Poor people spend money they don't have on rims and put them on the wrong cars. Rich guys have the money and will put them on Lamborghinis and Ferraris and everything else. But again, when you think middle class, think of the guy with the beige Taurus wagon. Does he ever throw rims on that car?
Hell no.
I will see guys driving down the street with more rim than car. Literally $4,000 worth of rim on $1,800 worth of car. You don't want to be in that situation. All right, rims, big rims. But I still think the leader in the clubhouse is Mark, because he had a little more social commentary with the siring the kids and the generation gap. Do you have one more that you like? We had this one, by the way. We had Gary, someone else drives you around.
Yeah,
the
that
rich
was
man
one
and
of
the poor
yours.
Man.
Yeah,
that's calling a town car to take you to the airport versus one of your buddies taking the airport, or taking a limo versus taking a bus. The people on the bus are poor. The people in the limo are rich. Either way, they're not doing the driving. Multiple phone numbers, novelty eating of foods. Well, we've kind of done that with the wild game.
Possum.
Right. Hillbilly.
Right.
Versus blue blood, fox hunt kind of stuff. What do you think? Do you want to declare a winner?
I would think, I really liked Anthony. I just liked his personality. But I think Mark had the most interesting entry.
All right. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Adam.
You just won yourself $500.
Oh, I'm feeling good about that.
Courtesy of No Country for Old Men.
Oh, awesome. Love the movie. I love the payout.
Yeah. It's like someone gave you $500 to watch a really good movie.
Yeah. It's the most you ever won in a coin toss.
Indeed.
Good times. Yeah. Nice.
Well, thank you,
quote.
Teresa. I appreciate you going to bat for me there.
Sure. Good job.
Where are you heading to, Mark?
See, I'm headed into Vaughn's to pick myself up some food to eat while I'm at work today.
What do you do for work?
Dump truck.
What kind?
Fruit truck. Steak bed.
What kind of truck?
Steak bed.
Steak bed truck. And what do you deliver? What do you deliver?
I deliver just construction equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Small stuff, basically.
You guys know what a steak bed truck is?
No.
Steak bed truck is a flatbed truck. You ever see those flatbed trucks that look like they have a sort of picket fence around them? They're open.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're not
closed.
They're not like a cube truck. And you lift those things up and put them. And when you lift them all out, it just becomes a flat. Literally just a flat surface behind the truck, and though you can drop your steaks in there if you have something in there.
I drove one of those in the city of San Francisco up very steep hills one summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, worked for an electrician.
Good times.
Scary stuff.
We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, all right, let's see. Stromer on the way. That is Eric Stromer on the way.
For the love of God, this is a hell child!
He's from the Home Improvement Show, While You're Gay. He'll be in here to answer some home improvement questions. We'll do Evil Adam. We also have an American Idol recap. I say we play Evil Adam next, because Stromer's going to be here in a minute, and I want to talk to him as well. So, Evil Adam, you guys can call in at 866-901-ADAM. Brian, can we give him a little taste of Evil Adam and just how it works?
Sure. You know, Evil Adam is your evil twin. Therefore, he's your polar opposite. And if I'm talking Evil Adam and I say, what's better, pie or cake, Evil Adam says...
Cake.
Right.
Right.
Jack Silver can do no wrong in programming this station.
Evil Adam loves Prince.
That's right. Evil Adam will have to defend and talk up all the things the real Adam always rails against. So if you have one, you can toss it in. Brian and T will provide some as well. We'll do Evil Adam next on the Adam Carolla Show.
You're listening to Free 2 HD.
This is the future of radio, and you know you're listening to it because you're never tardy. This is 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Hey, if it's Adam Carolla all day, you gotta have some crank yankers, right? Here's another great one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Ladies, this is Diana speaking.
Hi, Diana. I was in your store recently, and I got sprayed by the perfume counter.
Mm-hmm.
I did not want it on me, and now I have a terrible rash all over my vagina.
What? Where did they spray you?
Well, she just sprayed me in my midsection, and it got swollen and red, and it's a rash. I mean, I know a rash. I've gotten like 10 in the past 6 months, and...
Do you happen to know what fragrance it was?
It was a bottle. It was like a lion or like Oprah, kind of a weird big head on it. It's just when I put on perfume, I want to smell nice and fresh. I don't want my vagina to break out. You should see my vagina. It looks
well,
like...
you know, I'm sorry. I don't know how it ever got there, because certainly you were dressed when you came in here. I don't know what to tell you.
Do you not believe me? I mean, I
don't understand why it would be breaking out there if you got sprayed in the department, because you don't have that exposed.
I did get sprayed in the department, in the vagina department.
How could you get sprayed there, ma'am? Do you know where the vagina is? You'd have to take your clothes off.
I was wearing bikini bottoms. Because I was walking from the dressing room to show my sister the bikini. I was, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I got sprayed. This woman chased me. I mean, and it's not the first problem I've had, by the way, in that store. One time I was changing in a dressing room, and a man dressed as a clown just burst in. And he was also a Nazi sympathizer, and I'm Jewish.
Can I take your name and number and have someone call you?
No. This is something that I need to deal with at the perfume counter. I mean, this woman had a crazy look in her eye, and it was embarrassing.
Well, honey, unless you can tell me who it was or what she looked like, I can't help you.
She kind of looked like Margaret Thatcher, but with a scrunchie.
I have no idea who you're talking
about. She's the one that's spraying everybody's vagina.
Hon, I'm sorry. Unless you want to talk to a manager, I can't do anything more for you.
You know what? Why don't you give me your name?
No, I gave you my name. My name's Diane.
Oh. What a fun name. Diane, the Greek goddess of vaginal rashes.
Ma'am, I can't even
okay,
discuss this
I have
with
one,
you.
Can I just ask you, are you hiring?
Hiring who? Hiring people?
Yeah.
You mean the store?
Yeah.
Of course, we're always hiring people.
I'd love to work at the perfume department because I can hit a vagina from 50 yards away.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm really tired of this discussion. If you have a problem, call the store manager.
Would it be okay if I used you as a reference for the
Absolutely
application?
Absolutely not. This conversation is ended.
I'm Norm McDonald, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2HD, the FM talk station, where the FM stands for Frequency Modulation.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for another visit with Adam's evil twin brother, Evil Adam, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, somehow this got started when we went to the Playboy Mansion and Hasselhoff was coming on the show, and I started talking about his evil twin from Knight Rider, because back in the 80s, you knew when a guy was evil, he had a goatee and then a tattoo. Now, every poser has a goatee and a tattoo, and I can't tell who's evil anymore, but he had a black members-only jacket.
Lose weight.
He had a black members-only jacket, a goatee, and a tattoo. Thus, evil twin. And we thought, what about my evil twin? What would he sound like? Shall I hop to the phones? I see one I like already, or T, Bald Brian, would you like to feed me?
Yeah, should we hop to the phones first and see how the callers
do? Well, let's hop to the intro, and then we'll hop to the
phone. He hates everything Adam loves, and loves everything he hates.
This great city of Los Angeles, it's moving along at too fast a clip. You guys shouldn't be out wrestling, you shouldn't be out playing football. No better looking, finer carpenter than Ty Pennington. I'm not even worthy to talk about the guy. Don't change to flat tire. Read a book about it.
It's Evil Adam.
Let's talk to Landon. Landon?
Hey, Adam, what's up?
What's happening? This is not Adam. This is his evil twin.
I'm sorry, Evil Adam.
What's happening, Landon?
Hey, I've got national pride for you.
Oh, yeah. I love people that have a ton of national pride. As a matter of fact, it's awesome living here in Los Angeles and passing every flag from every nation across the planet other than our own glory swinging in front of everyone's house and everyone's place of work. It's a great strategy. You come here because your country is war-torn, your government is corrupt, and your people are horrific, and you come here and you start a new life, but the first thing you do before you start your new life is you hang the flag of the country you fled from, and then arrange a parade, and then create a little or whatever fill in the blank town. I love it. It's great when we can have a culture that's not a culture. It's a whole bunch of different cultures. Don't you love it? Like, wouldn't it be awesome if the next time you went to a sporting event, there wasn't just Lakers fans in the crowds or Knicks fans in the crowds, but there was a fan that represented every team in the crowd wearing every jersey in the NBA. Wouldn't that be a utopia? Wouldn't you love doing that? T, what's your team?
Golden State Warriors.
Golden State Warriors. Wouldn't it be awesome if the next time you went to a home game, wouldn't it be, where do they play? Cow Palace?
No, now they play,
All right.
Yeah,
you're a huge fan.
No, they moved it around a couple times.
Okay.
To be fair.
Where's the home team? Where
now
are they?
Now they play at the Coliseum.
All right. Wouldn't it be awesome if you went to see your home team in the Coliseum and all you saw around you was a sea of guys wearing jerseys that said Nuggets and Bullets, or if they even have those, Wizards and Lakers and Clippers.
They have Bullets in Oakland.
All the other jerseys representing all the other places, except for they said they were there to see your team and your team was the best and they were aligned with your team. They just wore every other jersey from every other team in the league. Wouldn't you enjoy that?
Is this evil, Adam?
Yes. I love it. I love that kind of diversity. As a matter of fact, I'm tired of the American flag. I hate the 4th of July parade. I want there to be... Here's my plan. You come from your country, you come over here, we'll toss you a parade. And I will march in it.
Well, let me ask you this, Evil Adam.
I love that.
Because Adam dresses a certain way for work. And I wonder about you, Evil Adam.
Hold
how you
on.
Feel about...
People coming here, you should not even learn English. I like when you speak your own language and you
both
make
you
your
guys.
Own communities. I would love you guys just to create a very small version, sort of like Epcot Center, a very small version of the community you fled from. That is an awesome plan. All right, what's next?
Again, I will enjoy that at San Janeiro Fest next year. Mm-hmm. Evil Adam, I was just going to say that your twin wears sweatpants every day to work. I wonder how you feel about wearing sweatpants.
I can't stand sweatpants. I ironically find them confining. I don't like drawstrings. I really don't, no, you know what happens with those drawstrings?
What?
The one side gets pulled inside of a little eyelet hole.
Yeah.
And then you can't fish it out. And if you ever try that process in public, you look like a retarded guy who's searching for your genitalia. That is a very embarrassing look. That trying to get the drawstring, a lot of pinching and inching going on. No, I don't like sweatpants. I believe it should be worn only by the aforementioned NBA players, and that should never be worn out in public.
Brian, any questions for Evil Adam?
Well, Adam likes to complain, if you want to call it that, about having to interview porn stars. I got nothing to say, but you, on the other hand, must be quite a fan.
Of interviewing porn stars?
That's right.
Interesting.
Insights on life. And
interesting twist. Yes, well, hot chicks in general are smarter. That much I know. And then the ones that take their clothes off, well, they're super smart. And then, of course, that makes awesome radio because they bring their insights right to the microphone. Let me hop to the phone and...
Don't be a one-upper, like I said before.
Let's see. Let's talk to Kevin over here. Kevin?
Yeah?
What do you have for Evil Adam?
Hey, Evil Adam. I just wanted to know what you think about the greatest genre of music of all time, being the 80s synth-pop bands, such as Soft Cell... New Order.
See, that's real music. You know what I mean? Do you hear that? Do you hear the crispness of the synsonic drum? The guy who programmed that drum into that Casio was a musical genius. I mean, listen to that. First off, timeless. Musicians today couldn't handle this. Yeah, you're right. No better genre for music than, for my money, mid-80s. 84 to 89. Lots of Flock of Seagulls. Lots of bands out of Germany and the UK. And I call them bands, but really just two guys with big hair and a couple of Casios. Nothing better. I could sit and listen to this all day long. Now let's really focus on this. Majestic. Yeah.
Well, Kraftwerk's got to be one of your favorites, right? Because they started the whole thing.
Well, I love Kraftwerk. And again, I love techno and house, so I have a lot of range. But any synth-driven, anything with a synthesizer in it or synsonic drum, anything that starts with synths, I'm into. Synsonic, synthesizer. I like when guys play the drums that are shaped like a stop sign. That's how I know the beat has begun. And, you know, that Warm Leatherette song. I mean, it just doesn't get better than that. Tear of petrol running down your cheek. Nothing stronger than that. Yeah, 80s music is all right, but not early 80s. You don't want to hear any of that Elvis Costello or early Joe Jackson or any of that garbage.
How about Bad Religion?
Bad Religion? No, I hate them.
Hate them?
Can't stand them. Yeah, they play guitars and basses, and they sing and stuff. They don't sound electronic at all. Now this is music.
A tear of petrol is in your eye.
Come on! That's when beautiful. Musicians were musicians.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Let's talk. Oh, I'm trying to wrap my mind around some of these questions on here. Scott Baio being gay? Let's talk to Steve. Steve?
Huh? Adam, what about the litany of gay men Scott Baio has had?
Wow.
Is my head going to explode here?
I'm confused.
Scott Baio's had nothing but hot chicks.
Right.
Here's $10. Never call the show again. All right. Now, here's another equally confusing one up here. Matt?
Yeah?
You're 13.
Huh. Yes, I am.
I'm going to give you a break.
Okay.
Go ahead and see if you can stymie Evil Adam.
Okay. What do you think of Dancing with the Stars?
I love Dancing with the Stars. And let me tell you why. Because I love dedicating 3 hours a day to the majesty of dance. Sure, in that same time, I could learn a second language or be almost at a professional level playing almost any instrument under the sun. But instead, I've embraced the majesty of dance, and that's important. Even if I'll never do it again the day after I'm kicked off of Dancing with the Stars, I love dancing. And as I've said many times, after 4 hours of radio and getting up at 5 a.m. and having twins running wild all over your house and attempting to launch a movie, there's always time for dance.
Right, and don't you love being preened over?
I love the primping and the preening. I love the hair. I love the makeup. I love the handmade suits. I love the fuss. I love the pomp and the circumstance. I'm a diva. I don't know. Some would call me just a queen. And I love it. There's nothing better than showing up to the set and having a whole bunch of fellas rush you and drag you off into a place and strip you down and try on pants. I really do. I feel like royalty, and I love that attention. It's comfortable. For me, I feel like I've come home. And then Tom Bergeron shoves a mic in your face, and a Klieg light fires up, and every single person I know wants a ticket, and everyone asks me every 10 minutes if I'm nervous. It is awesome stuff.
How do you like the Mystic tan?
Oh, I gotta tell you, that ain't tan. That's orange, baby. That's better than tan. That's Anita Bryant tan. That is citrus orange, and there's nothing better for me than being painted a different color and having a suit put on and being brought and walking down red carpets. And then I got to tell you, it warms my heart when I hop on the internet and find out that I'm a 25-1 underdog in a competition that has 12 people. So essentially, in a 12-man race, I've been picked to come in 25th. It warms the cockles of my heart. I'm going to be dancing later on today. I can't wait to get to it. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Do we have an outro?
Evil Adam.
Eric Stromer coming up next. Home improvement calls with Eric Stromer, 866-901-ADAM. While you're out, the real deal, hunky Eric Stromer in studio next.
This is 97.1 Free HD2, SoCal's high-definition FM talk station. Face it, you love crank yankers. Well, here's another one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
That's
Stacy. Is Crystal?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I've got a situation here. My maid just quit this morning, and the house is a mess. Yeah, it's not good. How many people do you have in your staff that can come over and clean up?
We usually send 3 or 4.
Okay, 4 is not good for me. It's got to be 3 or 5, because I'm not good with the even numbers. I know it sounds funny, but I have this disorder. Do you know what OCD is?
No.
Okay, it's obsessive compulsive disorder.
Uh-huh.
Before we get started, please push your pound key for me on the phone.
No, I can't do that.
Oh, just take a second. It's just part of my disorder.
No, I'm not going to hit the pound key. You sound like too much trouble. I think you need to call somebody else.
Oh, Stace, don't get the wrong idea.
No, I'm...
forget the pound key for now. We'll get to that later. Are the girls left-handed or right-handed?
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy what I have. If you could just hit the pound key real quick and then
I'm not hitting the pound key.
Okay, can you hit the number key then?
No, I'm not hitting any other key.
Could you help me, please? I need help.
Well, I don't want my girls to get out there and then you tell them that they can only use their left hand or they can only use their right hand and are they left-handed?
I won't watch. Stace, I'm sorry. This affliction I have, I do not wish it on anybody. I have so much money and I just, if you hit the pound key, I will give them each $20 extra.
What difference does that make?
It's just part of my disorder, ma'am. I'm so sorry.
Just pretend I hit it then.
If you just hit it.
I think you do need to try somebody else because I don't think I can send my girls out. Can you pretend that
the pound key is your friend?
Well, pretend that I pushed the pound key.
Okay, understand that. And if you could just say pound key. Right now.
Pound key.
Oh, thank you. Okay. All right. So let's understand this then. They'll come over tomorrow or today? Can they come over today?
It won't be until Monday.
Okay. And will they hit the pound key on my phone when they come over?
Probably not. If you ask them to do that, they'll look at you weird and leave.
But it's my pound key.
Mister, you're just getting too
my name
weird
is Ken.
For your request.
Let me give you my name and then you could get this work order going.
Ken.
You say Ken? Did you
Ken?
Say? Okay, Ken. And now if you can repeat pound. Pound, pound, key, key, key.
I think you need to call somebody else. You're driving me crazy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Stacey.
I'm sorry about your affliction.
You know, it's a terrible affliction. Could you just say pound key and then we'll finish this up?
No, you're driving me crazy.
Could you call me by my nickname?
I don't care if you got $1,000. I'm not
I've got $2,000, man.
I don't care.
All right, just call me by my nickname, Mr. Poundy Pound.
I'm DJ Frank Guy, and you are listening to 97.1 32 HD, the FM talk station.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show from HGTV's Over Your Head.
Ever notice home improvement projects all start with the best intentions and end with, well, some never end?
Eric Stromer and the Ace Man are taking your home improvement questions at 866-901-ADAM.
Case in point?
The Adam Carolla Show.
All right, Eric Stromer.
Yes, sir.
Everybody. Eric Stromer, easy on the eyes, tough on nails.
For the love of God, this is a hell child.
You know him from Over Your Head on HGTV. And by the way, he was just remarking, Adam, on your thinness.
My sveltness.
Everyone, he's svelte. He looks fantastic. I've been dancing
the pounds away. Yep. But I still can answer your home improvement questions, even though I strap on the leg warmers, capizios, and headband. Circa Staying Alive, 1984.
Do you do the really thin headband?
I do the thin one that's actually...
Like the Rambo.
200 times longer than it is wide. That's the ratio. Yeah. You want it to be just whisper wide and several hundred acres long. You tie it. Yeah.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, last time, the guy... The guy from Loverboy wears it, too.
Yeah.
My last serious dance injury is when I stepped on my headband and went into the orchestra pit. Yeah. That's how you know you're rocking in the 80s. What happened?
You know it. Yeah.
Why are you wearing that neck brace? Stepped on my headband. Why are you wearing that neck brace? Drummer stepped on my headband.
That's right.
A lot of the Solid Gold dancers were taken out that way.
I love the Solid Gold dancers.
Me too.
Remember them?
Yeah.
Yeah, they express rage.
Yeah, they do.
That's right. They would whip around and the headband would catch another Solid Golder
but then they'd freeze pose. Are you learning to freeze pose in the whole dance thing?
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait.
Do you end in a freeze pose? A
lot of detached retinas when I do my spins with my super long headband. By the way, when you're fashioning a headband and you pull off, you know, several thousand yards of fabric, do you really, does anyone go, how much extra do we need? Yeah. I feel the same way about high top tennis shoes. Stromer, looks like you play some hoops every once in a while.
I could still go.
When you buy the high top sneakers, you notice after tying a bow, you have an extra 18 inches.
Right.
And then somebody says, well, what you do is you tie a double bow and then you take the leftover and you stuff it into the shoe. And
right.
I think that's an awesome plan. Or they could make a high top tennis shoe that had a normal length shoe
lace. Right.
Right.
And then try tying your child's shoe. It's like 57 knots later. It's,
right, because they're going to be stepping on it, and it's going to be dragging in the bathroom.
Which I use that lace sometimes for my headband when I do my own private dancing.
When you do a little... Your
parents were both ballroom dance teachers.
Oh, yeah, they still do it, yeah.
Do you still do some dancing?
Oh, absolutely. You know, at weddings and when they go out and have fun at dinner and stuff, they're great. Beautiful to watch. Wait till... They're going to be huge fans of yours doing this. Now, can I ask you one question?
Yes, go ahead.
Are you going to shave the chest and do a big whole deep tan thing?
Here's what you have to do. Well, they'll paint your head orange, because if they don't paint your head orange, everything is relative in TV.
Right.
You have to get your teeth whitened if everyone around you gets their teeth whitened because you look bizarre. When you watch 60s, 70s, and 80s sitcoms, people didn't get their teeth whitened at that time. They all just were sort of a shade of gray, and nothing stood
like
out.
Like English teeth.
Right, yeah. But if you... Earl Grey, yes.
Yeah.
If you have somebody next to you who has whitened teeth, if you're dancing with a girl who has had her teeth whitened and her body sprayed orange, you're going to look like an albino with gray teeth if you don't do the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's very relative. Now... I think I'm wearing a suit for the first one, but during the Latin dance, you have to kind of undo your shirt a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that they can just paint orange any parts of me that are showing.
Yeah.
Right.
But will the hair still be there?
Yeah, I think.
It'll be orange.
It'll be orange.
Like an Oompa Loompa.
I might thin it out a little bit.
Just a little.
It shouldn't be too bushy.
A tiny bit of manscaped.
You don't need to be clean.
You gotta have a little. You gotta have something. Hey, do you remember the Star Trek movie with Lorenzo Lamas? Did he have a chest like a fake chest in that suit of his?
The old Lorenzo Lamas.
Not Lorenzo, but the dad. What was his name?
Right. He was, Lorenzo Lamas, was he a junior? Lorenzo Lamas is the son and
Ricardo Montalban? Was that it?
No.
Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah, that's it. He had a fake chest implant that went under the spacesuit.
There is a Lamas
Can you do that?
Senior. Now you got to look his name
All
up.
Right,
yes,
nice.
I'm going to do that.
Okay, good.
Double D's, to be exact. Hey, Dave?
Hey, Adam. T, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, what's up?
What's happening?
Yeah, I'm a big fan, long time listener.
Fernando.
Fernando. What was I saying?
Something close.
It's close.
Yes,
sorry,
Fernando
sir.
Lamas. Sorry, go ahead.
You were saying?
That's it. Adam, I'll tell you, I've never watched American Idol or Dancing with the Stars or any of that, and I am looking so forward to seeing you this year. I can't wait.
That makes one of you.
Well, here's my question for you. I've got a 3-year-old house. We just built it 3 years ago, and in the master bath, there's just a pretty large shower with a single head. I want to put a multi-head in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to lose water pressure by putting six heads in up and down the shower. And now I'm pretty new at this. I'm pretty confident about pulling the tile out and extending the pipes out, but I'm worried about the water pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Can I interject here a little bit? You have to absolutely have separate valves. Don't try and have a couple of different heads coming off of one valve, because it will be a nightmare. It'll be like someone's peeing on you for one.
Not so bad.
Mm. Yeah,
you get the seven diamond treatment for that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then
inside the glory hole.
And then you can, you know, those tankless water heaters, you could easily do one of those for one of the heads and then have the other valve coming off your main supply line from your traditional water heater.
Well, Stromer used to be a tile contractor, so I'm guessing you've done many a nice shower installation in your day. And the way they would do that would be separate valves.
Right.
So that you would have to... Now, how would you break it down if you had multiple heads? I mean, you'd obviously want it so you could take just a standard shower without the six-head treatment every time, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
So you'd have just a separate valve for each one.
Your overhead shower, you know, the traditional place would be one valve.
Right.
And then if you wanted to sort of branch off from that, you could get away with one more, like that body spray thing.
Right.
But then if you want to do another head for your partner in the shower on the other side, definitely you got to have a whole other valve there.
Right. So you're saying the water pressure, not an issue coming from the city,
no.
Just as long as you have
multiple
valves.
Valves, exactly.
All right.
And then would the tankless heater go into the basement, or can I put it in the bathroom?
You could actually put it under a bench, you know, part of the bench, and if you're building a little bench in the shower or something where you do a traditional steam unit, you can put them there. You could put it in the attic right above the bathroom itself. I mean, those things are amazing.
This is great.
Well, what they have and what people don't know, and this is what all new houses should be constructed with, which is not only a tankless water heater, but an instant heater in the place furthest away from the water heater.
Right.
If you live in a home, oftentimes the water heater's outdoors, oftentimes it's in the basement, and let's just say your master bath is upstairs, and the water heater's either outside or in the basement. Well, you have to run the water for 5-10 minutes in order for it to warm up, because it has to travel such a great length to get where you are. That, of course, wastes a ton of just very usable, clean, filtered water right down the drain, literally down the drain, along with the money down the drain. They have systems that are point of contact systems. They will heat your water at the place that you're at, which is different marginally than the tankless water heater, which could be heating the water at the point of origin, you know, where the water's coming into the house from the city. So you could have a tankless system down in your basement, but in your upstairs master bath, you could also have a smaller unit that gave you instant hot water. Yes,
right.
Eric Stromer?
Absolutely. And then you're completely covered. So just do more valves. Go more valves than less, and you'll be fine.
And we're having a ball out here.
Not only that, but shouldn't all new construction have that? Really? We have a system where everybody in, you know, especially if you live in Southern California, it's a desert. It's a drought area, and they're constantly telling you to conserve water. So what does every single person do before they take a shower? They turn the hot water valve on, then they go do something.
Right.
Brush their teeth,
yeah.
Go turn on the stereo, go take a lap around the house. They come back 5 minutes later after, you know, 180 gallons has rolled down the drain and into the bay, and then we get in and do that. Really, we can't solve this problem. And yes, we can. You could do new construction this way. No, not.
Hey, did you see
anything
the
anyone wants to address
in the article in the paper about all the prescription drugs are showing up in our water supply? Isn't that amazing?
I did.
This is amazing.
Eric Stromer in studio, over your head. Name of his show: HGTV. Quick break. Try to get back on time, and then we have a ton of your home improvement questions. We'll tackle them next.
Now, here's another Adam Carolla comedy clip from Jim Gaffigan.
Whenever I visit another city, I always act like I'm from there, so the cab driver doesn't rip me off. I'm always like, hey, it's good to be back home. Back here where I grew up. Yeah, here in Tokyo. Everything looks familiar because I grew up here. Oh, where do I need to go? Driver, I need to go to my old stomping grounds. That would be the Holiday Inn. And the address appears to be the pound sign. So, step on it.
More Adam Carolla coming your way next on 97.1 Free 2 HD, SoCal's high-definition FM talk station.
I'm Rachel Dratch, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD, the FM talk station.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. In theaters March 21st, Adam Carolla in The Hammer.
Now, you can't fight inside with this guy. He's too strong. And you can't dance on the outside. He's too fast.
What's that leave?
Construction.
Go to AdamCarolla.com and register to win tickets to see the world premiere of The Hammer at the ArcLight Hollywood Cinemas on Wednesday, March 19th. The Hammer, in theaters Friday, March 21st. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I modestly give it an 8.7. That's what I'll give the movie. But again, you can read the reviews. And I will say this, too. I don't think people like me. I think they're begrudgingly giving me good reviews.
Well, you were described as having a relaxed masculinity by the Hollywood Reporter.
Wow.
How do you like that, Eric?
Well, I feel that right here in the room.
Yeah. We were not accepted into Sundance because the guy said he did not like me, which is an awesome way to run a film festival,
oh,
by the way.
That's great.
Yes.
He said he just personally didn't like you.
It's probably a mixture of me and my politics, and decide not to let me into his crappy film festival.
F him.
We can all F him if we go to the theaters on March 21st.
That's right. I'm going to go to the premiere at the Arclight.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I wish I could go.
You can. You're a celebrity.
Come on, let me
you
in. I got to see this thing.
Bring
the
your
hammer.
Wife.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's on the plus none.
Sorry.
There's plus one and plus none.
Should I bring my own food or what?
I spent a lot of my life as a plus none.
No, T, you get the plus. You can bring one cat. Eric.
Poor Finster always has to stay home.
You bring those beautiful biceps and those pearly teeth.
You got it.
No, yeah, Stromer, that's right.
I'm
He's on TV. He's
Come
in.
On.
All right. Well,
by the way, it's the finest movie I think I'll ever see. I know that.
Yes. I realize people think I'm a doofus.
Yes.
Hey, Luke.
Yeah, how's it going?
You have a question about your tile grout?
Yeah, I'm putting a tile floor in my basement, and the grout seems to be fading in color.
Mm-hmm. What color is the grout now?
It's black.
Oh, yeah, it chalks up on you, the black. It really does.
It gets chalky looking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly.
Classy, though, that black grout. That's a good look.
Can I tell you how to bring some color?
There is no racial bigotry.
And by the way, there's only one reason to tile a basement floor, and that's to cover up the hooker blood.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is there a drain? There's obviously a drain
there.
Yeah,
there's a drain down there.
I have not seen black grout, I don't think.
You see it at Hef's mansion occasionally.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
If you go into classy establishments, you will see
that's
black
That's why I haven't
grout.
Seen it, but yes. I know that Eric is kind of a tile expert.
I'm a tile king. I don't know if you know that. Yeah, anyway, if you want to bring the color back, you can just put some acrylic sealer on it, and it'll sort of have that rich black tone again.
And the other thing that people don't know about sealer, whether it's the counters in your kitchen or the grout in your bathroom, you need to toss that stuff on once or twice a year. It's not one and done.
Right.
If you have a kitchen and you have an island in the kitchen and it has marble or granite or whatever else you have that's a rock surface, you need to get good expensive sealer and you need to apply it several times a year, not just one time, or just have the guy finished it off, do it one time, and then split. You need to do it constantly because it wears off. All right, let's talk to Jennifer, 32. Jennifer?
Hey, I was wondering, we just got a new house, and I wanted to replace the doors, and I didn't, they have door slabs and pre-hung doors, and I just want to replace them out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the difference is.
Well, door slab is just a blank door. It is not mortised, and it's not drilled. A door will be mortised, that's where the hinges go. The mortised is where the space that is carved out that makes your door hinge snap into place and be sort of flush. So it will be not pre-mortised and it won't be pre-drilled for either a deadbolt or a knob. That's what the door slab is. Pre-hung would be pre-hung and possibly pre-swung. It would come with the jamb. It would come with the hinges. It would come with the pre-drilled side, but not the hardware. Usually not the doorknob and the deadbolt. Hanging a door is a good 8.5 or 9 on the difficulty scale. So unless you or your lesbian partner's up to it, I would say you get the pre-hung and pre-swung versus the slab. On the other hand, you can't put the pre-hung and the pre-swung in the existing jamb. You'd have to replace the whole jamb. Eric Stromer.
I concur.
Concur?
Absolutely. Well, what are you doing? Are you remodeling? Are you building brand new? Or
She wants to change them out.
Right, right. I think you should
just
get
bought it and it's ugly.
You got to get the pre-hung. It's much easier. It'll save you money in the long run. Even if you have a guy come and hang the doors, he'll be able to do that faster.
But the pre-hung door is not going to work in her pre-existing mortised jamb, per se.
What's the exterior? Is it stucco or wood?
It's asbestos siding.
Ooh.
All right. Ooh. You need to immediately dig into that with a masonry blade and no dust mask.
And you and your partner have to have one of those, you know, medevac suits and have holes cut out for the appropriate areas.
And, yeah. The thing about asbestos, and when you handle it, it's a good idea to stay away from it. But if you do have to deal with it, wet it down first and then don't break it up. If it becomes airborne, that's when it becomes dangerous. If it lays in place dormant, it's not dangerous. It's like when it's in the radiator pipe that's over your head. If it's just there, it's sort of asbestos is sort of like bats when they sleep. just walk really through the cave and keep your head low. If you throw a rock at it, that's when you have trouble. Hey, Jennifer?
Yeah?
All right, so you want to change out your front door, which is ugly?
And the interior doors.
And the interior doors.
Well, those are different. Now, can I just say one thing? If you're going to do the exterior doors and you want to change out and cut that siding, you got to bring in somebody to come in and abate the asbestos siding. So you may then want to just replace the door within the existing casing.
I would say leave the jamb, leave the casing, interior and exterior. Buy the doors you want in the slab form, meaning not pre-hung, and have a guy who knows what he's doing mortise them and fit them.
Oh, boy.
All right, Jennifer?
Okay. Jennifer, a front door hanging is going to be about $800 too. So you
really?
You
gotta, I was such a doofus.
Yeah.
I just charge $15 an hour, and if I hung your front door in 3 hours, I charge you $45.
Yeah.
You know what are nice for interior doors? And I don't know what you guys think, but doors with, they call them lights with glass panes.
Yeah,
I like those.
Aren't those pretty?
Yeah. One lights.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like
the obscured glass.
Yeah.
That's very pretty.
You're talking about single light.
Yeah.
And each light, if there's eight of them, then that'd be like a French door, and it'd be broken up that way. But the interior doors with the single light is kind of cool. And then with the bathroom, you go with the sandblasted look, so it's okay.
I like that if you have a small space, it makes it look bigger.
Yeah, lets the light in. It's great.
Shonda.
I'm a doofus.
Hello. Shonda, what is your question, my dear?
I had a leaky faucet in my bathroom for a little while, probably a little too long. But it, the water, because it's so hard here in Vegas, it just kind of ate through the enamel. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to find out if there's anything that I could do besides replacing the sink to kind of clear that up and smooth it back out.
Yes, there are companies that come to your house. They'll redo your tub. They'll redo your sinks. They'll redo everything. And there's different versions of it. Now, you can kind of do it yourself with a two-part, like epoxy-based paint, but you could also pay a company to do it. And the companies, I believe, Stromer will correct me if I'm wrong here, do some sort of electro-based thing where they actually charge your tub with electricity and then they spray on like a powder coating and so on and so forth. It's a little bit expensive, but they definitely do resurfacing of sinks, tubs, and other areas that have been worn away over the years. A lot of people, for instance, like the look of an old sink, so they want to get one of those old cast iron ones from the 30s or something, have it re-porcelained or re-enameled or re-whatevered and put into their house. It's a business, and they're all over the place. They have them in Vegas as well. You can paint tile,
yes,
and you can paint your cast iron sink as well. But again, it'll kind of look like you did it if you don't pay somebody to do it. So if you open the phone book and you find something under bathroom fixture resurfacing or something.
Tub and towel resurfacing, yeah.
Right. They do that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Shonda.
Thanks.
Let's do one more. T, do you like one?
Yeah, I like Mike on line two.
All right. Let's talk to Andre in line six. Andre?
Hey, how's it going?
Never gets old. What's up, Andre?
Hey, I live in a Latino neighborhood, so I have a pretty small apartment that doesn't get the greatest ventilation.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's hot outside, it's like an oven in there, and when it's cold outside, it's pretty much a freezer.
Right.
So I was wondering what could be done to kind of insulate either the heat or the.
Mm-hmm. In your apartment,
is it a rental?
Yeah.
Yes,
it is, but my parents actually own it. So.
Oh! You could blow in insulation if your parents would pop for the. It's not that expensive actually to do that. By the way,
And
what do you mean exactly by blowing?
Well, what you do is you core a little hole inside or outside of the wall, in between the interior wall and the exterior wall. There's about a 4-inch space, and they actually blow fiber fill insulation with a machine that pumps it into
Got
the
it.
Walls. Right?
Yeah. For those, I mean, just bigger picture. If you own an old home, T, is
yeah,
your
I
home
do.
Old?
1914.
All right. So it does not have insulation in the wall.
It's cold and hot as
right.
depending on the time of year.
Now here's what they will do, and we'll see if this works for Andre or not, but at least for all of you who live in old houses that don't have insulation, this is how they do it. They take blown cellulose. It's newspaper. It's essentially paper. It's pulp. And what they'll do is they'll drill themselves. They'll take a hole saw and they'll drill a hole about 3 inches wide at the top, and they'll drill another one toward the bottom. The reason they do one at the top and the other one toward the bottom is in between, in the bay, there'll be something called fire blocking. And if you just drill one at the top, the cellulose will fill the top bay, but it won't drop below because they have fire blocks that run in the middle of most framed houses. Now, Eric was saying the bay was about 4 inches thick, and it's about 14 and a half inches wide because the studs are spread out 16 inches on center. So you'll blow it in the top, you'll blow it then in the bottom underneath the fire block, and then they'll patch the hole up, and you will be able to insulate your house with fairly low impact. They'll patch up the 3-inch hole they drill in there. You'll get a little more R value. It's not going to be night and day, but
right.
you'll notice a slight difference, and you can blow the insulation into the attic as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
How much is this going to cost for, say, a 1,500-square-foot house?
Surprisingly inexpensive, somewhere around $1,500, $1,800.
And you save a lot.
Oh,
I don't know
goodness.
About our caller, but you have to get those little space air conditioners that
yeah.
you plug in.
Yeah, it's
and
terrible.
Space heaters.
Yeah,
they,
and it's just localized heat, and it never feels the ambient temperatures.
And it's expensive.
Right. Absolutely.
Andre, this is an apartment building that your parents own.
Yeah, it was actually a house before, but when my dad bought it, he turned it into a duplex.
And what year is it from?
I don't even know.
And is there somebody living above you?
No.
Okay, no. So here's what you can do. Couple of things. You can put the. Can you get to the attic up there?
I can.
All right, so you get up there, and you can blow in your insulation. You can also put in something called radiant barrier, which is essentially tinfoil on the roof rafters. And after that, you're kind of on your own. I mean, I feel low cost, whatever. I'm a ceiling fan guy. You put a ceiling fan in over your bed, summers ain't going to be nearly as bad. And in the winters, it takes the hot air, which accumulates at the top of the ceiling and pushes it back down.
Yeah,
so
right.
that's
and
cheap and easy way to do it.
They reverse directions, too. So if you reverse the direction of the fan, it actually pulls the heat down around the walls and then back up into the fan. So you reverse it in the winter and then back the other way in the summer.
Ceiling fan and tea, you get to your house and start blowing. All right.
I rented it out, but I will say that when I was living there, electric blanket.
Oh.
I rented
sorry.
It out
my
that
head
Koreatown
was somewhere
house.
Else. Yeah. But, no, I can dig it. Yeah.
But
yeah.
the electric blanket was my best friend.
Yes. All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break.
We'll be back.
How about you set up the news? And Stromer, why don't you hang out and do the news with us?
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
well,
it.
Well, this just in, Elliot Spitzer just out. And also, Gene Simmons blames women for a lot of things.
Now the crowd gathers because the bull gets, of course, hot and bothered.
When Gene does one of those things where he becomes like a botanist, he's like, the flower is the pollen is okay, Gene. I thought we were talking about chicks here. The male bull. All right, Gene. Please, would you just put the goddamn makeup on and play that axe guitar?
Stick your tongue out for crying out loud.
Stick your tongue out. Pop the blood capsule and play that guitar that's shaped like an axe, would you?
And lick it up.
And lick it up. Yeah. Quick break. Eric Stromer here. We'll do the news next.
Hey, we can't leave out my favorite Jewish princess, my favorite Jewish lady. I'm talking about Teresa Strasser. And you can find her with my main man, Adam Carolla, on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
KLSX HD2 Los Angeles. This is 97.1 Free HD2, SoCal's high-definition FM talk station.
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, Ace Man, just wondering how I can...
send you some money for the hammer. I checked around and can't find it around here, so I'm going to have to end up downloading it to watch it. So I'm just wondering where I can send you my money. Thanks. Keep it up.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Nice of him. Well, the DVD will be out probably, you know, 3 or 4 days after the movie's released, so he can just go to the hammermovie.com if you want to know where it's going to be in a theater near you. And here's how to get it in a theater near you. Here's how movies work, at least independent movies. They do per screen. What was the per screen average? How much did it average per screen? Now, if it averaged a certain number per screen, then they expand it. If not, it goes away. So if your movie is in 10 cities, like my movie will be in on, let's say, 25 screens, they will factor in the on-screen average. If the on-screen was good, then it'll come to a city, your city, or a city near you very soon versus go away. That's how they do it. So if you would like to see my movie and you're in a city that it's not in, you should encourage your friends that are in those cities or gas up the car and hit the road.
Give out, out that website again, because my mom called yesterday. I was confused about where it was playing. I told her to go there and finds out that it's actually playing like the nicest theater in San Francisco. Like if, you have equivalent of the Arclight up there.
If you go to the hammermovie.com, you will see it. They will tell you what cities and specifically what theaters in those cities. And hopefully you can read some good reviews and see some things like that as well, too. But enough about me. It's time for tea in the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
After getting busted for spending up to $80,000 on high-priced call girls and allegedly laundering the money, New York Governor Eliot Spitzer has just stepped down. He says he is resigning from office effective Monday, March 17th, to allow Lieutenant Governor David Patterson time to make an orderly transition. By the way, David Patterson is legally blind,
mm-hmm.
and for the time that he is in charge, will be the first legally blind governor.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the press conference from just a few moments ago. Eliot Spitzer first thanks his family.
In the past few days, I've begun to atone for my private failings with my wife, Soda, my children, and my entire family. The remorse I feel will always be with me. Words cannot describe how grateful I am for the love and compassion they have shown me.
Soda.
Silda.
Silda, yeah. Although he calls her Soda. It's got to be great having a blind governor in there. It's like, here's some legislation we need you to sign, governor. Yeah, governor, you're signing your tie. Yeah, you need to sit up. Yeah, it's on the desk. No, go ahead and do this. And by the way, that'd be awesome, too. Hey, I got some legislation. By the way, the legislation is you opening a, like, I have a bill. I want to open a strip club on top of a preschool, but I go, it's a rainforest. Rainforest, we're safe.
Saving parklands. The rainforest?
Wetlands. We're doing, wetlands.
Yeah.
Wetlands.
No,
sign that. Go
opening
ahead and sign
it. Opening a wetland into a rainforest.
I'm writing a check out to myself for $1 billion from the government. And it's, handicap ramps at preschools. Go ahead and sign that. Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Here's another check. Amendment. Yeah, just go ahead and sign that there, government. Governor, that's awesome. You need a ride somewhere? I'll give you a ride.
David Patterson will also be the first African-American governor of New York State.
He's piling into the back of a Prius. This is a stretch limousine? Absolutely. Really? Really? Bomb-proof, bullet-proof, only the best for you, Governor. Now to the mansion. It's a Ramada Inn.
And sometimes I do get concerned about the
wardrobe. Smells like hooker and cigarette smoke in this mansion. Oh, no.
That was Spitzer.
In Spitzer's room.
Really? Really? Spectrovision and a vibrating bed in the Governor mansion. Absolutely.
Well, Spitzer is very sorry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am deeply sorry that I did not live up to what was expected of me. To every New Yorker and to all those who believed in what I tried to stand for, I sincerely apologize.
He should have done more standing. That really would have helped it. You know who the real victims are here?
Silda.
Soda. His youngest, Fresca.
Fresca's his youngest daughter.
Sprite. Sprite and then Tab. Those are the ones who suffer
the most. Mr.
Yeah,
Pibb.
His doctor, Mr. Pibb, had harsh words for him. Dr. Pepper and Mr. Pibb, his financial advisor, of course, had some very difficult times. Mellow Yellow, his slacky
his
brother-in-law was
high
completely fine.
His little cousin, Squirt.
Now, Kool-Aid, one of his black friends from back in his football playing days, had no problems with it at all. All right.
His dog bark.
It'd be barks, but all right.
Come on.
You ruined it. You did one extra one, Bald Brian. No, seriously, the daughters.
Yeah, three teenage daughters.
Right.
Just glaring at him on the podium.
Let me explain who the victims are.
Yeah.
The husbands of the future. Husbands of the teenage daughters.
Oh, yeah.
They will be the ones who paid for daddy. They will pay the ultimate price. He got the hookers. He'll apologize. They'll be scarred and bitter. A few short years, they'll marry a guy, and then they will take daddy's doings out on
someone
the guy.
Someone has been listening to a lot of John Mayer.
That's right.
That's
so
all I'm
saying. The real victims in this tragedy are the future husbands
right.
of the daughters.
They'll be emasculated. They'll have no point of view.
Fresca, Tab, and Sprite.
Right.
That's right.
The girls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's
mm-hmm.
got to be a rough week for them.
Mm-hmm.
Here is Spitzer officially stepping down.
Over the course of my public life, I have insisted, I believe correctly, that people, regardless of their position or power, take responsibility for their conduct. I can and will ask no less of myself. For this reason, I am resigning from the office of governor. At Lieutenant Governor Patterson's request, the resignation will be effective Monday, March 17, a date that he believes will permit an orderly transition.
Me and Soda are going to retreat to our cabin in Mount Dew.
Not Mount Shasta?
Genius.
All right.
All right. Gene Simmons, we talked about him yesterday. Tito Ortiz was in here and a caller asked, you know, what's Gene Simmons really like? And I was surprised. Tito said Gene Simmons is really a chauvinist.
Mm-hmm.
When Gene was in here, I found him to be a very pleasant man. He tried to fix me up with his cameraman. That was sweet. I was desperate.
Well, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
But Gene Simmons went on Dr. Phil and he seemed to make the case that you can blame women for the paparazzi. Here's what he had to say.
Look, in the world, there are more important issues. But since we're talking about this, if the women of the world stop buying the magazines on the way out of the checkout counter of the supermarkets, the paparazzi would stop doing this kind of stuff. You can't be surprised when you're a young starlet and you step into the farm pit, wherever the bull is, and put on a red dress. As soon as the bull attacks, the crowd will gather. So who's doing the crowd gathers because the bull gets, of course, hot and bothered. The reason the bull gets hot and bothered is the starlet puts on a red dress. Give it some straw and just, you know, put on a nice pair of jeans. But the idea is the women of the world enjoy this. I don't care about the new wrinkle cream. I don't care who's going out with who. Guys don't really care.
I'm hungry and horny.
And I need lotion.
Yes, I want to stay.
I need some moisturizer.
And I need to get laid.
In that order.
Yes. Well, I hate to say it, but Gene does make a certain point.
He made one excellent point, which is that women do create the market for these photographs. That's true.
I mean, there is this chicken and the egg thing. It's like, well, you want to bust all the drug dealers. On the other hand, if people weren't buying drugs, there'd be no drug dealers.
Right.
It's the same thing they do when they talk about illegal immigration. And on one hand, hey, how about we, you know, build a wall at the border. On the other hand, how about all the corporations that are making money by hiring illegals? If they stopped hiring, then right. they would stop coming. I do agree with Gene in the sense, and he got a little out there with the bullfighter stuff. But the initial assertion that if you broads would quit buying all these kooky, and by the way, I don't mean just broads and gays. And when I say gals, I always mean gals and gays.
Right.
I hope you understand
it's
that.
Understood.
Stop buying all these kooky tabloid magazines. The price goes down. These guys stop going through Britney's garbage.
I'll tell you what, TMZ, very big with the male demographic.
I must say, I watched that show. I definitely consider it a guilty pleasure, and I don't know how to explain that. Yes, guys have been, I believe, drawn into this as we slowly become women. This is just another facet. Not only can we not protect ourselves with our fists, not only can we not change a flat anymore, but we're now turning into gossip queens as well. And that is true. I enjoy those tabloid shows. I would never buy a magazine, though, and I'm not sure what the difference is. One feels more active and the other feels more passive. Here's what it is. I would never, ever go out and score cocaine. I would never go to the park and find a drug dealer. I would never go into a bad neighborhood. I would never do that. But if I was at a party and somebody held a mirror under my nose and said, here's a rolled up 20, you want to do a bump? I probably would do it. That's the difference, I guess, between seeking it out, paying for it, and being a sort of passive participant in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I really do. I thought the semi-sexist point he made, I think this is the point he was making with the bull thing, is that if young starlets go out and they're all dressed up, then they deserve to be hounded by paparazzi. They should dress down and not be asking for it.
I'm in between, which is feel free to toss on some underpants before you climb out of your lowered vehicle in front of the paparazzi. You're sort of asking for trouble. And again, don't go to all, you know, there's no reason. Look, I've been to the Ivy. The food is fine at the Ivy. And then there's 200 other restaurants in town that have good food as well. Feel free to eat at one of those restaurants if you don't want a throng of paparazzi around you. His point is they probably want it, and a crowd draws a crowd. But either way, Gene made half a point there. I do agree.
Hey, remember in Hollywood when women used to hide being pregnant? Now they're offered, yeah, what, $10 million for a baby photo and stuff?
Oh,
it's
sure.
It's just all transformed.
We're yes, J-Lo and Mark Anthony were offered like millions of dollars,
right, yeah,
for
by people.
The picture
Part of
their
is
kid.
Actually a nice trend. It's nice that pregnant women work. I mean, Kelly Ripa can't stop being pregnant and everyone loves watching her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I love that part of it.
Yeah, the other part is, though, that it is weird. And some stars donate that money, which is a really cool thing.
Yeah.
But
right.
Pocketing it.
When you're J-Lo, but she needs it.
Yeah, I understand. Sure. She's having difficulty making ends meet over there. But to me, karmically, you're asking for some Down syndrome or the kid to get backed over by the drunk neighbor.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned kids. Now, Eric Stromer, I know you have a couple kids, and yep, I assume that you discipline them using a pressure washer.
Of course.
He uses a nail gun, actually.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that big case when we come back.
Wow. I think I saw that in the news. Coin-op.
Yeah.
Hey, quickly, the white trashiest residents on the planet. If you go by some of those old school coin-op car washes,
yeah,
you will see a small one-bedroom apartment above them. You will see a building, a dwelling on top of. There's sort of the main island where you feed the money and get the soap and all that. Look up about 10 feet. You will see one more story up there. There's a dude who lives on top of that. That is officially the white trash White House. There's no, you can live above a liquor store. You can live in a tenement slum. You can live in project. You can live wherever you want. Living above in the little apartment above the coin op laundry, the whitest of all white trash dwellings. Yes, T?
Yes.
Yes, Eric Stromer?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
We will take a break. Be back with the rest of the news next.
You're listening to Free 2 HD.
Hey, y'all, it's the Valley Stud, and you know I'm always on that digital network, 97.1 Free 2 HD, because I'm high, definitely, or high definition.
Now, here's another great Crank Yankers episode on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Hello?
Steve Smith, please.
He isn't in. May I take a message?
I'm calling from the mall. This is Bud Fleck. I run security, and we have surveillance camera footage of him putting three pairs of carpenter pants into a bag from another store and then leaving the mall without paying for them. And
oh, I doubt it.
Store owner is not looking to press charges. They simply want their merchandise back.
He doesn't even wear carpenter pants.
Well, he's got three that he's about to start wearing soon. I'm sorry, we're going to put my supervisor on the phone.
Hello, this is the owner of the store.
And, yes?
Your husband has been stealing carpenter pads from our store.
What store?
Whoa! Oh, we had you going!
You got... We've been boomed!
This is Boomer and the Nudge on 97.1, and oh my goodness, man, we had you going there pretty good.
Did you hear that? Did you hear what she's going? She's going, he doesn't wear carpenter pads. Go!
You know what? That's true love, ma'am, if you're covering for your husband like that. I wish I could find a girl like that.
That's wild.
Are you serious?
We had you going.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, we sure did. I bet you need a new pair of pants right now, don't you?
No, I'm thinking my husband does not wear carpenter pants, let alone does he even like to really...
That was a third-degree burn right there. Whoa.
Put a little Neosporin on that,
we
honey.
We had you going around in circles.
That's right. Oh,
then when she goes, please, please don't arrest my husband. He'll be raped in jail. Oh, you
horrifying.
Probably thought your husband was going to get raped in jail. Didn't you?
I don't know what in the world is going on.
Well, you seem like a nice lady. What's your name?
Michelle,
you're on 97.1, jabbing the hottest, freshest mix of hits everybody can listen to from the 80s, 90s, and today. Soft rock, let's talk, nonstop, continuous 15-minute mega blocks of music every hour. Listen for the Party Chicken, 7:10 a.m. every day. And get that super sticker on your car. Our prize patrol might pull you over with the hottest giveaways in town. Win with the sticker and stick with the winner, 97.1.
Oh, we had you jumping like a Tijuana whorehouse on burrito day.
I'm trying to have a birthday party for my 5-year-old.
Oh, that's fantastic. Michelle, say it along with me. I'm a complete jackass.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Say that for me, honey. Go ahead.
I am a complete you-know-what.
Yeah. Oh. Yes, you are. Tell her what she's going to win, Boom.
Well, if you're having a kid's party, then strap in because we're going to be sending you to Wally Gator's House of Inflatable Fun, where kids can eat pizza and have fun in our room full of balls.
That's inflatable fun. Would you like a room full of balls, Michelle?
Sure.
I bet you would.
If you want balls slapping your kid's face and you want to come down to Wally Gator's House of Inflatable Fun.
Michelle, thank you for booming and nudging and keep on listening to Hot Hits 97.1.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, hey.
Oh, boom.
Oh, that was
bye-bye.
Amazing.
Bye.
Amazing.
What a dipshit.
Are you wanting me to hang up now?
Oh, we didn't know you were still listening.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Whoa, embarrassing, boom. Okay, we'll give you a call back. We're going to hang up on you, okay?
All
take
right,
care.
Bye-bye.
Boy, she was...
What a moron.
Yeah.
What's up? I'm Joe Rogan, and you are listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD. Now, there's not a whole lot of people listening, so you're amongst rare company. This is a privileged few that are listening to this super cool HD radio thing that you're listening to right now. You're ahead of the curve.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Keep listening to win $500, courtesy of No Country for Old Men. When a man stumbles on a pickup truck loaded with $2 million, his decision to take the money sets off a chain reaction of violence. It's out now on DVD and Blu-ray, starring Tommy Lee Jones, Javier Bardem, and Josh Brolin. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, good times. Eric Stromer from HDTV's Over Your Head hanging with us for the news. T?
Yeah?
Let's hear the rest of it.
On February 24th, a 22-year-old mother named Nayirka Ramirez was at a self-serve car wash in the state of, any guesses?
I would say Florida.
Well, you got Ramirez, so you either go Texas, California, or Florida, but all horrible things come out of Florida, so I'm going with Stromer on Florida.
You're both right.
Yes.
Her 2-year-old daughter began throwing a temper tantrum at the self-serve car wash, so Ramirez sprayed the little girl with a high-powered pressure washer in the head, face, and chest.
Definitely not a Jew.
To give you some perspective on how brutal that is, the force of a typical pressure washer is about 60 times more powerful than a garden hose.
Mm-hmm.
Surveillance cameras caught the whole thing on tape, and the video started making the rounds on the news and on the internet. Last Thursday, after Ramirez saw the tape on the news, she turned herself in to police. But according to Ramirez, the whole thing's been blown way out of proportion. She was just using the water hose to calm her daughter down. Here she is insisting she's a great mom.
I'm a great mother. I love my daughter to death.
Sure.
And I will never harm my daughter. And people can be judging without knowing what really happened.
Well, first off, I'm going to go way out on a limb and downgrade her to good. I'm going to go ahead and take the great. I don't feel like you can have the great mantle as a mother if you turn a pressure washer on your four-year-old.
Eric's got three kids. Would that be calming?
It would not. I was going to say maybe the mom thought that the kid was extremely filthy and just really had to clean her.
The kid had it coming, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and, you know, if I was defending her, here would be my argument. Yes, she turned a high-pressure water nozzle on her four-year-old, but let me make this clear. It was on the rinse setting, not the suds setting, which would have damaged her eyes and caused the tears to fall from them. On the rinse setting, no big deal. Now, the carnauba wax, I don't know how to explain that and the armor alling of her eyelids. And then what she did with that vac.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Thank God the surveillance camera couldn't see what was going on with that big vacuum. You ever do that big vacuum? You know what they do with that big vacuum? They got that big, the same guy who works out the timer in that big vacuum, because I always lived in apartments. I always had to take the pickup truck over to the coin op. By the way, that is a village of the damned, that coin op car wash thing. That is, let me tell you, you exchange loser glances, like, you know, once in a while you go to a really upscale market like a Pavilions or a Gelson's and you pass somebody and you go, yeah. Hey, winner.
Hey, we're paying a lot for
celery.
Hey,
that's right. I just paid $80 for that lettuce, but hey winner, hey, what do you got? What'd you bring?
I got goat cheese, man.
Goat cheese, oh, yeah. Awesome. What's that running you a pound?
$55.
Nice job, winner. Have good luck toting that out to the Range
love
Rover.
Your V-neck sweater, by
thank
the way.
You. Thank you. Yeah, it's cashmere. You like that?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
love
I got it from Barney's.
Wow,
not the outlet either. But that's the winner. You'll see. It's unspoken. That's the winner look. When you go to the coin op car place, you exchange the glance of the loser. It's the same thing you do at the free clinic.
Hey, you lost another tooth.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
What do you got, buddy? What's going on? What went so horribly wrong in your life that you've just paid 75 cents to wash your own car? But then you go over to the vacuum. And you put 50 cents in that giant vacuum, and that thing just goes, it's an explosion. I mean, you know, it's like you push the button, whoo, and now you're on the run. Because somebody's figured out that they will give you just enough time to vacuum the driver's side and driver's seat and part of the floor, but not the seat of the passenger side. Right. It kicked a whoo. Now there's that weird no man's land. Do I go kick in another 50 cents into the vacuum thing and finish it off? You know the same guy who times that? The same guy who used to time the little private booze at the porn place when you feed in a couple of bucks and
they
show you the porn.
And then it goes off.
It goes off and then the cycle continues, you know what I'm saying.
Can you tell what happened to air hoses? It's the same guy, too.
Yeah,
right?
That's the same guy who does the coin-op air hose at the gas station. Which is you feed in the 50 cents, you have enough to get to three of the four tires.
Right.
If you're driving a trike, if you got an old Cushman, you're fine. But if you have a car with four wheels on it, you have to put in another 50 cents. Yes, the same guy that works out the timing for the coin-op vacuum does the coin-op air hose and used to be responsible for the booze in the boys' little playground over there at the porn shop.
Maybe he also times the hand dryer in the restroom.
Yes. Yes, that guy too, and also works the water at the airport restroom. That one where you hit the plunger and you try to get both hands under and it pops up again.
Right.
What goes on with airports that water becomes so precious all of a sudden? All right, anyway, where were we?
An important and shocking story about teenage girls and STDs. Ooh. A recent study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that 1 in 4 girls between the ages of 14 and 19 has an STD.
Wow.
That is 1 in 4. That comes out to over 3 million girls here in the United States. That's more than the entire population of Chicago. 1 in 5 white and Mexican-American girls has an STD. Nearly half of all African-American girls have one. Overall, HPV, or genital warts, was the most common sexually transmitted disease for teen
girls.
Hold on,
we're tied with the Mexicans?
1 in 5 white and Mexican girls has an STD.
So we're tied.
They combined that stat.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
But the blacks are beating us?
They're 1-1.
All right, Whitey, Mexicans, that's your call to action. Let's get moving.
Try to tie it up?
We got to start younger.
I'm no racist, but I'm not going to let the blacks beat us at something. Let's go. Let's step it up. All you guys using condoms, let's go now. Let's start barebacking it. Let's move up now. I'm not going to rest until I can bring the Anglos and the Mexicans up to the blacks. And you blacks, you stay where you are. Hold still. I don't want you jumping up a notch when we get to your old place.
Well, here's the problem. According to the CDC, some STDs do not have obvious symptoms. Many girls who are infected don't even know it. And there's a serious problem because certain STDs, of course, as you know, like HPV, can cause infertility and even cervical cancer if left untreated.
Yeah, this is something human papillomavirus, HPV, something Drew was on to 10 years ago, but no one was really on to it yet. They do have a vaccine, but of course, it's very controversial because Lord knows if you give a young girl that, she will probably have sex with the person that administered the vaccine. That's how it works. It's the same way if you hand a young boy a condom.
That's right.
If he pulls it out of a condom machine, he will physically rape the condom machine with the condom. That's how it works. That's, of course, how society works. Like, if you give a junkie a clean needle, he will stab you in the neck with it. And if you give a boy a condom, he will rape you with said condom. And if you give a young girl a vaccine to HPV, well, that's just opening Pandora's box. And you're now giving her the green light to have unprotected sex with every stranger in her life.
And it's under the guise of beta testing.
Mm-hmm. It is ridiculous. Of course all women should get this now.
Well, the HPV vaccine is not a panacea, unfortunately, because there are so many strains of HPV. But if you know you can prevent at least some of the most common, and if you know one out of every four teenage girls between 14 and 19 has an STD, I don't know why you wouldn't give this to your daughter.
Right.
I've taken the vaccine.
You have? Me too.
Three
just
parts.
Just to play it safe.
Might
as well.
I'm wearing a condom right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, it costs $600.
I put it on with my mouth.
Oh, no.
Well, that's the way Stromer rolls.
I know. That's what you insist on?
Well, he said his hands were full. I was like, why don't you just put down that cup of coffee and we could... He said, no can do.
But you've both been vaccinated. So
yes.
I think we're all right.
Mm-hmm.
I've even vaccinated my 2-year-old daughter. It's going to start now.
That's right.
Well, it is in three parts. You got to get one and then
Really?
6 months and then wait 4 months. Yeah.
Yeah, this is serious. Mm-hmm. Business. You know, back in the day, that just simply wasn't in existence, and now we're in a whole new world. It was a little herp sometimes, a little bit of the herp, maybe
yes.
A bunch of the herp.
Yeah, there's nothing a little penicillin couldn't have cured.
Yeah, this is.
But also, we didn't make the correlation between the cancer
cervical
and the warts.
Cervical cancer and the warts, yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Can lead to cervical cancer and infertility. Doesn't always, if it's caught early enough, but it can. Very dangerous, and I was shocked. 1 in 4.
Yeah, well, you know what this is? It's reason 128, God hates us having sex.
Why is God so against it?
I don't know exactly how the big man works, but he don't like us having sex. And you know what he doesn't like? He doesn't like the casual stuff. He doesn't like the multiple partner stuff. Nature somehow decided that he didn't like us humping willy-nilly. And speaking of willy and nilly, he wanted to shut down the gay bathhouses about 20 years ago, and he effectively did that. And nature, just not a fan. I don't want to get too cosmic on everyone's ass, but evidently there is something in nature that says you are not supposed to have sex with so many people that you're not committed to, because it seems like every time that happens, nature throws a wrench in and says, here's a little something called AIDS. Here's a little something called HPV. You're going to get cancer from the HPV. Again, I don't know enough about nature to know why this works this way, but nature does not want us having random, indiscriminate, unprotected sex with multiple partners. I wish I could talk nature out of it, but evidently that seems to be the choice he or she has decided upon, yes?
Well, some people thought it was an unnatural act when the American Idol sang Lennon McCartney songs last night.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I thought it was horrendous, actually.
In some cases, it was.
Will we do that next?
We will.
We'll take a break. Eric Stromer in studio.
I'm wearing a condom right now.
Host.
Yeah, I didn't know that was coming back.
Thank God.
Yeah. But, yeah, ironically, host over your head.
I'm wearing a condom right now. Thank you very much.
Right. Well, last time I yawned, well, all right.
And I need lotion.
Over your head. HGTV, everybody. We'll take a quick break. I'll get vaccinated for warts, and we'll be back with Idle Talk next.
This is 97.1 Free HD2, your station for wall-to-wall Adam Carolla. Hey, if it's Adam Carolla all day, you gotta have some crank yankers, right? Here's another great one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Bobby Morris.
Hi, my name's Stephen Goldstein, and I'm looking for a representation. Can you help me?
Well, what do you do?
I am an impressionmedian. I do impressions, and I'm a comedian. I'm an impressionmedian.
Impressionmedian. Okay, well, send me a promo thing.
Oh, no. Today's the day. I do 1,000 different voices. Do you know the comedian Bobcat Goldthwait?
Who?
Bobcat Goldthwait. He was very big in the 80s.
No.
He was in the Police Academy movies. He was married to Lonnie Anderson.
Uh-huh.
I do an impression of him. Watch, I go, hey, that didn't hurt. That didn't hurt. My mama had a baby and its head popped off.
Okay, that was good. Now, what else do you do? Let me hear.
You know Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
I can do Jack Nicholson.
Let me hear.
You can't handle the truth. I'm Jack Nicholson.
That sounds like the other guy.
No, it doesn't.
All right, what else do you do?
I do, do you know Vic Tayback from, he played Mel on Alice? He was Mel's Diner?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Alice, stop sitting around on your butt and get those trays in. My mama had a baby and its head popped off. Where do I sign?
Okay, and who else do you do that is more recognizable?
Well, who do you want to hear?
You know, like Sammy Davis Jr.
Sandy Davis Jr.?
Sammy Davis Jr.
Who's Sandy Davis?
Who is Sammy Davis?
Yeah, who's that?
How old are you?
39 and a half.
And you never heard of Sammy Davis Jr.?
Oh, he was on Taxi?
No. Have you ever heard of...
No, that's Tony Danza.
Have you heard of Dean Martin?
Yes, I know Dean Martin.
And Frank Sinatra?
Dean Martin hosted Laughing.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, it was...
No. Hey, listen, I'm busy right now. I
can do
go.
You.
Yeah, let
hey,
me...
listen, I'm busy.
Okay. All right, you take care. Good
no
luck
way.
To you.
Well, thank you very much for the support.
Hi, this is Billy West, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD. Come on, you waited all your life for this technology, so get with it.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show, it's time to recap last night's American Idol.
You're being you.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Eric Stromer in studio, over your head.
I'm wearing a condom right now.
Over your head, name of show, HGTV. T, I watched a little American Idol last night.
What did you think of Lennon McCartney night?
I like that hot blonde chick who plays a piano barefoot.
She's my favorite. Brooke, she plays guitar and piano.
Yeah.
I think she is my favorite. Brooke,
yeah.
24.
And then they cut to the audience and they held a sign up that said, we gained a star, but we lost a nanny.
She was their nanny. She was a nanny for twins out here in L.A. She could have been your nanny.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, baby, I need you to take this vaccination.
Little HPV test.
Stromer, high five.
Well, you,
back out, though. I can't focus with you in the room.
Yeah. I think, Brooke...
you're burning a hole in the back, in my back with your eyeballs, Stromer. How about you regrout the downstairs bathroom, and I'll call you when it's time for sloppy That's seconds. Exactly.
I think Brooke is my favorite of the girls. Christy Lee Cook is a very attractive girl. She's the one that was the cage fighter and the horseback rider country
she's
girl.
She's hot, but the nanny... That nanny's way too hot to be in someone's house for the amount of time they're
work.
In somebody's house.
There's
that is
mandate.
Not going to work.
You can't have a nanny like that.
Yeah.
It destroys them.
Now, has your wife told you your nanny can be only below a certain level of beauty?
Absolutely.
Is there a number attached? Is there a number attached?
Four.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, is
lotion.
That awkward when you put that out to the nanny agency? We need somebody who's qualified.
We need a strong four. Someone right in the middle of four.
We're looking for someone who's nurturing and a troll.
Often they go hand in hand.
That's yeah. Right. Yeah. She's way too hot to be good at taking care of twins. I am just saying she is too good looking. I mean, listen, did we not learn anything from Gene Simmons' diatribe? There's no way a chick that hot could be sitting. You'd come walking downstairs. Your wife would go out of town for a couple of days to visit one of her friends. You'd come walking downstairs. She'd be wearing a summer dress, playing the grand piano.
And there you go, slow
motion
all of a sudden.
Barefoot with the curtains. And you in slow motion with just drop your bathrobe.
No, you drop your baby.
You drop both kids. I'd be like, listen, Sonny, why don't you hop on that big wheel and scram?
Huh? This is Brooke singing Let It Be.
Here's a roll of quarters. Hit the arcade. I'll see you in a couple hours.
Go spray the babies down with them.
Yeah, hey, head out to the coin-op car wash and have the weirdo that lives upstairs there, the guy who changes the soap, have him spray you down. I'm going to hop in and do a little duet on the piano. Yeah.
Well, she's doing very well. I don't think she's going to go back to nannying.
No,
sadly.
Was, again, one of the best performances of the night.
Simon loved her. Now, here was possibly one of the worst, if not the worst, performance. I just mentioned Christy Lee Cook, a beautiful girl, 24 years old, from a small town, and she decided to go country with 8 days a week.
John and George are doing cartwheels in the grave right now.
I almost put my foot through the television for
some things you just
watch
can't.
This.
Yeah, wow. You just can't do it. Mm. Yeah. You can't cover certain songs.
I think Lennon was cremated, but I'm sure his urn is turning.
She's turned the other urn.
Yeah. Well, this was a very painful moment last night. 17-year-old David Archuleta, he's been the front runner up until now. I'm sure we've all forgotten what we were supposed to say at some time in life, and that happened in front of millions and millions of people when he tried to sing the song Work It Out. Now here is where it's right at the very tippy top of the song. Take a listen.
Why see it your way? I'm learning and I love it soon be gone. We can work it out.
Yeah, we can work
Thank
it out.
Thank God no one can understand Paula Abdul on the show either, so it sort of balances it out. Like, I don't know what the F you're singing about, but the good news is the chick in the middle, I have no idea what she's saying, so it's a push now, isn't it?
Well, it's funny because Paula Abdul's advice was if you forget what you're going to say, just act like you didn't.
Right.
Don't let it show on your face. That's what she does.
Sure, you never know.
But what a nightmare.
Take a swig of gin, it'll all pass.
Yeah. Right. Terrifying, I would think, to just, you know it, and you knew it 10 minutes before, and then you just don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one of the big stars, unexpected stars from last night was Chiquizzi.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear him singing She's a Woman.
That's a him?
Chiquizzi Easy. Not bad.
Yeah, Chiquizzi.
Yeah.
Brought a little heat.
What is Chiquizzi? Hey,
he slung some heat. He's a black man.
Mmm, crazy name. Chiquizzi? Yeah.
Chiquizzi, Chiquizzie. And his last name is Easy. It might be pronounced Izay or something.
Chiquizzi Easy.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was our first choice for a daughter, and then obviously it was taken, so we...
Ryan.
So you couldn't go with that?
No.
Okay. She went with Pepsi Free.
I will leave
like
you.
Like the governor.
Bring the Spitzer back. Spitzer's strong.
It's funny because he sounds like Spritzer, and she's Sody.
It's all
Spritzer
about beverages soda. In New York.
It all
you
comes
know
back
it.
To That's that. It. Egg cream. Okay, one last singer. Do you want to hear Carly Smithson, the Irish girl, or David Cook, the rocker, who sang Eleanor Rigby?
Let's hear Carly. Yeah, why not? Carly
here back. She is. Come Together. Judges loved her.
It strikes me that a lot of these people probably, sadly, didn't even know half these Beatles songs.
They confuse them with the Monkees. They didn't
well, I think
know.
That's what happened right. to David Archuleta. He's only 17. He only knew Stevie Wonder's version of We Can Work It Out.
Wow.
He's 17.
I guess yeah. so. On their hand, I know all about World War II, and I never saw any action over
well,
there.
Well, great news for you tonight. Sadly, someone will be eliminated on Idol, but your girl Catherine McPhee will perform, and Jim Carrey's going to show up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's pimping Horton Hears a Who.
Do you think syphilis is eating his brain, or is Jenny McCarthy driving him insane? Because he seems to be getting nuttier by the day.
Does he need the vaccine?
I think he needs the HPV vaccine.
Something needs to go on with him.
I need lotion. Thank
you. He seems like he's into Scientology or something. He has that Tom Cruise kind of manic animation that makes me not trust him.
I haven't even mentioned that USA Today is reporting he will be in an elephant costume.
Oh, wow.
So I think
there?
That supports your theory.
Huh. Yeah. Well, you know
what
it is?
One of the first signs of syphilis.
By the way, I've tried that on my TV show. You just pick up a day labor, you put him in an elephant costume. You're the great Jim Carrey, everybody. And then you just play a bunch of clips from The Mask and no one knows. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Back to wrap it up with the great Eric Stromer next.
Now, here's another Adam Carolla comedy clip from Nick DiPaolo.
I'm not good with technology. I suck with technology. I got DirecTV. Anybody have DirecTV? Yeah. What happens when it rains, though? Yeah, you lose your picture. I call customer service. I go, every time it rains, I'm losing my picture. And this is what she says to me, and I quote, "What do you want me to tell you?" I don't know. Tell me the dish isn't made of sugar. Let's start there. She goes, every time it rains, you're going to lose your picture. I go, that's kind of ironic, you know, because I don't like to do it when it's raining. I like to stay in and watch TV. She goes, your dish is affected by bad weather. I'm like, why? What do you make it out of? My grandmother's hips? Why don't I put her on the roof and wrap her in tinfoil? She can hang her wrinkled ass out due north. I can pick up the Tyson fight next month.
More Adam Carolla coming your way next on 97.1 32 HD, SoCal's high-definition FM talk station.
I'm Juliana Rancic, formerly DePandy, until I got married, and you are listening to 97.1 32 HD, the FM talk station, where the FM stands for People on the Radio with Large Heads, and that's why I love this place.
Well, just enough time to thank one of the nicest guys in Hollywood, Eric Stromer.
I'm wearing a condom right now. That's all I have to say from this day forward.
Over your head on HGTV.
And I need lotion.
Absolutely.
You can go to overyourhead.com, or I should say overyourhead.tv.
That's right.
Yes. For all the listings, Mazel Tov, as all the carpenters who I've ever worked with would say. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo. Some would call me just a queen.